Okay, we went live, although even at ultra low latency, the YouTube latency seems like it's a lot. So if you can hear us, say hi.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. It's an episode of the Level 1 News that's live. This is weird. I don't think we've ever done a live news before, have we?
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I don't think we... I think we've considered it before, but we never actually did it.
Oh, they said Minnesota. It did take a while. Okay. So that's good to know.
Well, I don't know how much we'll be able to interact with the chat while doing this. We'll try, but...
Yeah, so how this is probably going to go is we're going to go through the news like we normally do, basically ignoring chat, and then we'll try to read any subscriptions or anything like that that anybody does at the end, or hold your questions until the end, and then we'll do that. But there's probably going to be three sections about... They're usually about 45 minutes to an hour long. So as new people come in, you guys are responsible for letting the new people know what's happening, that we're not ignoring them. We're just doing stuff, and so that you know that it's live. It's like we can see Kyle and Chocolate Brisket and Brett M and Half of 14. We're not doing any of this YouTube premiere BS. That's utter BS.
Oh yeah, they do that now.
It's so terrible. It's like, yeah, we've already
a channel got, I watch does that.
There's already people that are like, this is pre-recorded.
It's not pre-recorded.
It's live, Level 1 News, according to Ryan Baltzley.
We could mess this up at any second.
Liquid Media Games is here. He hangs out in the Twitch chats. And Ranveer Singh, seen him before a bunch. So thanks for continuing to be fans. We do this for patrons too, not live, but we upload this basically unedited for patrons. So everybody gets a taste of what patrons get, except they get it on Monday, not live. On with the news. I'm just rambling. He's like, let's get this over with.
So it's all government today. A couple of weeks in a row, we've had all business news, but no, today most of the stories were government stories. So one big block of government, although if you're watching this right now, it doesn't really matter to you, does it? Because
you're watching it live.
It's going to kind of all be at once. So it's not broken up by days.
It's like a much less professional version of what happened last week.
Anyway, let's start with the FCC because that's what we like to do. We like to start out with the FCC. Because that gets everybody in a good mood, right?
All riled up.
Gets you where you need to be to appreciate things that government does.
Oh, it makes me so angry.
And the first thing we'll talk about is 5G. Now, 5G has launched.
In Chicago or just...
But the problem is they're still nailing down all of the rules about 5G, which is weird. Because 5G is launched.
Like what frequencies it uses? That seems like a big one to get right before you launch it.
Well, we need more.
FCC chairman wants public auction to repurpose satellite broadbands for 5G. So the most amazing thing about this article is the people that currently own the spectrum that is proposed for auction here are like, hey, public auction? Wait, we own this. Are you going to give us money for this? Can we do a joint auction where we both make money? Because that doesn't seem like what's happening. Currently, there's a couple of satellite providers that own it. AT&T owns one of those satellite providers, but there's another one. So this might be an end run around the regulations in order for AT&T to put one satellite provider out of business. And now it might make sense why they're moving away from DirecTV.
So it's kind of like a GPI on one hand wants to give the IS or the phone people what they want, but on the other hand, they own everything. So he has to take away from them at the same time. It's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving for him.
I think AT&T is happy with what he's doing, but this might be AT&T's way of making it harder for like Intelsat to compete, because I think Intelsat is the other big satellite provider. That's what I got from this.
Oh, I feel a sneeze coming on.
Do it.
Oh no, a live sneeze.
Just go right in the mic. Go hard.
I'm like staring at a light. It went away. I've lost it.
I was staring at a light supposed to trigger it.
ASMR
yeah, it is.
Sneeze.
It's very dry here. It's very cold.
So, also in FCC news, they decided that they were scheduled to vote to figure out, hey, what can we do to punish these evil Chinese companies? We're the FCC. We must protect the people from their villainy. And they have taken a pretty serious step toward that.
The FCC has barred Huawei and ZTE from billions in federal subsidies, although they're still working with rural ISPs to figure out exactly like how they're going to deal with that, because there's a lot of rural ISPs that are still sort of deploying their hardware.
So the rule is all that universal fund money cannot be used to buy those items to add to your rollouts, which a lot of ISPs use those.
You think Appalachian Wireless using that?
Probably, yeah. I think they probably go with the lowest.
Absolute, yeah.
The cheapest thing they can buy, for sure.
They're probably going to get it on eBay. It's like, don't use this in the telecom industry. And it's like, Borrel, look what we found on eBay for like $12.
There are billboards for Appalachian Wireless in this area. Have you seen them? They'll have like, you know, a very old iPhone on it. And it's like, get the newest iPhone.
It's a little star next to it.
Yeah.
Tiny fine prints, like circa 2012.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of those towers and stuff are so old. I mean, you probably get best performance out of those old ass phones.
You would get better performance out of a tin can and a string.
We all know that government agencies use social media. Of course, the cops use it. You see all the time with people to be posing with guns or drugs or whatever. We know that ICE uses it because that is very, very controversial. But what we don't know, at least we don't know for certain, I think I'm pretty confident I know the answer, is whether or not the FBI uses it. Because the FBI says they can neither confirm nor deny.
A judge has ruled that the FBI cannot hide the use of social media surveillance tools. So, yeah. But the FBI is just going to not talk about this, is basically what is going to come about from this. Because the judge rightly thinks that people are going to modify their behavior if they know that they're being watched. And the FBI says that, no, criminals might make it harder to detect their criminal behavior if they know they're being watched. But if the FBI is going to do this and then build a case based on data gathered from this, then they need to be forthright about how they're doing it. That's really all that's going on here.
If you're a criminal, shouldn't you always be assuming? Like, that's a pro-criminal tip,
but they
right?
don't.
Like,
I mean, people do whatever on social media, so.
Look at the people selling crack on Facebook.
I think
you were saying in our chat, I was like, what?
The desperation for attention far outweighs the fear of the FBI, whether they know or not.
Negative attention is still attention.
So I don't
They're still that small, frightened child.
I don't think it'll matter too much. AT&T had something interesting to say about net neutrality. And that thing was that they don't violate it, which begs the question, does AT&T have any idea what that is?
AT&T exec insists that no broadband company is violating net neutrality, even though AT&T is absolutely violating net neutrality. This tech article, the author is just incredulous. Like, is this guy that dumb? Does he have no idea? And he makes a good point. AT&T is absolutely violating net neutrality. 100%.
They point out that there are data caps. Almost all of AT&T's plans have data caps. But
unless
you, if you're using AT&T-owned media, if you're consuming their services, it doesn't go toward your data cap. Whereas Disney Plus or Netflix would absolutely go toward it, which is the very definition. It is the most common explanation of net neutrality or a violation thereof.
Yeah. That's horrifying. It's horrible because it's the same number of bits. Like, we've been over this. That should be illegal. That is not illegal is a failure of our regulatory system. Like, it's such a failure that the regulatory system shouldn't be in place, because the regulatory system has led to the awful situation that we have where there's only a few ISPs.
Listen, competition is good unless it's against me. Then we can't have that.
Listen, do you know how much it costs to install somebody like Ajit Pai at the very head of the organization that's supposed to regulate us? It costs a lot. We're going to have to get together to be able to afford that.
They point out that this was a question that was made, you know, like in some sort of government setting, and no one followed up. No one questioned it. They just took his answer at face value. And he went on to blame the big, like, you know, Google, Facebook, social media companies for the problems of the world, not the ISPs. The poor, beleaguered ISPs.
The ISPs' customers are a captive audience at this point. They can charge whatever they want, and they know it, and they will. They're going to increase the prices as fast as they possibly can.
See also college.
Yeah.
We have seen some big advancements in quantum computing recently. There was that horse race between Google and IBM, and they both claim they have the fastest. I don't know actually how that washed out. But the thing is, more qubits. Every day we're getting more qubits. But the NSA research director is like, hang on, people, wait. This could be bad.
Don't rush quantum-proof encryption, warns the NSA research director. This article goes on to talk about how the NIST, which is technically nothing to do with the NSA or any of our intelligence community, is developing new standards. But the warning is that, hey, if we adopt these new standards before they're ready, they're not actually going to be secure enough for us to, be sure that we've gotten all the loopholes out of it. Like, we'll implement this, and then there'll be a loophole or something, and then the security will be worse. I couldn't help but think about the elliptic curve backdoor. So, like, the elliptic curve thing was something the NIST put a lot of work into. And then the NSA surreptitiously backdoored it with pseudo randomly selected numbers. So it was almost like, hey, we don't, the NIST doesn't have anything to do with the NSA, but then it's like,
I don't know.
We talked about political ads from Facebook and Twitter. Twitter has taken the more of let's just shut them down stance. Facebook has taken the Wild West stance of not only can you run them, you can lie all you want. The way politics was meant to be played. Google has taken a very half measure when it comes to political ads. Really a restriction that can be worked around with very few steps.
Google bars election ads from using political leanings and voter data. So this means if you want to run ads on Google, any of Google's platforms, including YouTube, you can't, you know, use the selector to be like, definitely voting red. You can, however, say you're voting in a red zip code or predominantly red zip code. That's still okay.
Or
this person buys 2% milk. More likely to vote my way.
Well, that's a good point because you could choose something like Second Amendment or abortion, which
gun control,
kind of a proxy when it comes to a lot of those things.
I think that a lot of political advertisers were also finding out which demographic was likely to be completely outraged by something and then making like weaponized ads. So it wasn't like candidate A likes the things that you like. It was the other candidate is going to round everybody up and send them to the Caribbean. And then like people were freaking out.
We talk a lot about right to repair. And when we think about right to repair, we think about our phones, I think, predominantly. Maybe our consumer electronics, our appliances would definitely be on the list. Tractors, not one that I would generally think of, but when you read about the tractor situation, it is outrageous.
She thinks my tractor's sexy.
And
that's the joke there.
That's the title we used when we did that episode.
Oh.
And if your tractor goes down, you're kind of screwed, right? It could be your future. It could be your family. Your home could be lost. But there is one situation where it's way more critical to be able to fix your own equipment.
Here's one reason the U.S. military can't fix its own equipment. I couldn't read the New York Times version of this. Was this the article about they couldn't fix it because it would void the warranty?
Nah, not exactly. It's that they are not given, like when they get a manual or replacement parts or stuff like that, they either don't get them or they're the most simplistic nonsense that you've ever seen. And it's just like, just call us.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm in Kandahar. I can't really...
Call us between 9 and 5 Eastern Time.
Wasn't that the reason that like the World War II Jeeps are still kind of sought after? Is because they come in a crate and they'll run forever. Like, they'll run on sand and you can't possibly destroy them. Like, that was why they were so popular.
They don't make them that way anymore.
The other thing about this is... Well, so that's the thing. In those days, the military created its own equipment. But now there is a rule that you must go private as much as possible when you are buying military equipment. So they're getting very complicated equipment with no support and no manuals and no replacement parts. And when it breaks down, they really don't have much of an option.
Aren't they driving the tanks with like Xbox controllers now? It's like, you mean to tell me I can't bring an Xbox controller from home and plug it into the tank so I can blow stuff up? That's unacceptable.
I don't know about the tanks. It's definitely the submarines.
We have a client with a very similar use case to this recently. I can't go into too many specifics, but like they had a certain piece of hardware that they couldn't like update or do anything with because
it was
so old. And it's like, just call the manufacturer. And the manufacturer was like, you can buy a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in that case, no one's going to get shot.
Yeah. You don't know that though.
Like, less likely.
Less likely. But.
A lot likely.
Amazon more and more is taking flack over Ring. Because Ring is terrible. It's had some security problems. It's definitely a privacy nightmare.
Pictures of your children.
Yeah, the pictures of the Halloween children have not been explained yet. We're not sure how they opted into that. And some of the government is actually taking them to task.
The Intercept has the article about senators are pressing Amazon for answers on Ring's sloppy security practices. Was this an attempt at some sort of pun in the title? Like they're pressing the doorbell? Was that it? Because I only just got that.
It was a bad one.
It wasn't solid.
So
that a 5 out of 10.
A couple of weeks ago, was it last week or the week before? Ring, if you set up Ring out of the box and somebody happens to be listening in your neighborhood, like somebody's just sitting in their car or your neighbor's wireless network is listening, they will see the password to your wireless network in an unencrypted connection. They fixed that.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things the senators were wondering about. They were like, how did this happen? Did anybody audit this? And Amazon's just like, oh.
The other problem with Ring is they have that maybe a little too chummy relationship with local police and that whole neighborhood situation where you can just send your Ring data to the police and they can play with it. And that raises the question of, what if I'm walking past your house on a public sidewalk and my data goes to the police and I didn't say that was okay? How do we decide that? And Amazon says, it's not up to us, bro. This is your product, not ours, so don't come to us.
The Ars Technica article on this is amazing. It violates, if it's the user's fault if a Ring camera violates your privacy, Amazon says. So it's easy to imagine, it's like, oh, if you install the Ring camera in the bathroom, Amazon has nothing to do with that. But where would you install the Ring doorbell in a typical like doorbell location that you don't have a view of the street or other people or other people's houses?
Isn't like just reading the headline, it's kind of like it's literally just victim blaming, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the user's fault if you get violated.
I kind of agree with this. I mean, in some ways, that's blaming the gun.
Yeah.
And society is moving toward that way too much. But where that argument breaks down is how, when you go back and look at how hard they pressed to get those relationships with the police and build that network. So it's so easy to spread this footage around.
Was this also the article that talked about how the police are not required, like in order for the police to use this data, there's no requirement from Amazon. So like if a police station is like, oh yeah, that guy looks suspicious, we should save this recording, and it belongs to a user, they can do that. They're permitted by Amazon to do that. They might have your Ring recording forever.
But you have to opt into it. Although the normal walkthrough of the setup, I think,
I'm sure,
highly encourages. It's like a
dark pattern.
I'm
sure it's probably auto-checked. Like, you don't even have to read it.
So, yeah, it's not okay. It's not okay what they're doing. Technically, it is. If you have a Ring, you're the problem. You're the idiot.
We just did a video on building your own surveillance that's way better than Ring.
But there's so many idiots that, you know, you do have to look at Amazon, how easy they make it, and how much they lead the horse to water in that scenario. WeWork is having a bad time. They're having a bad November. And it is definitely not getting better. Now, last week we talked about SoftBank. SoftBank has kind of bailed them out, but in return they said, we're cutting your workforce. We're slashing it. We're slashing and burning.
You don't work.
But now, and they might have known about this at the time, there's even more bad news for WeWork.
New York State Attorney General is investigating WeWork, according to sources. And boy, howdy, are they going to find a ton of skeletons. There's so many WeWork stories that we don't include every week because it's just more of the same. But it's not. Are we going to do the separate story about the janitorial thing? Because they're firing all the people, the custodial people that maintain their offices, but then a contracting company is going to rehire them under worse conditions.
Yeah, you can't pay their benefits. That would just be, you know, terrible.
Pretty sure the New York State Attorney General is going to have a field day with just that alone.
But this is about the CEO and all the various ways that he benefited from the situation. Like, there's the famous story. He tried to sell them, actually did sell them, the trademark Wii. W-E, for what, $6 million?
Yeah, and then he gave the money back, and he was like, oh, was that wrong?
Well, because they walked in on him with his hand in the cookie jar. And he was like, oh, I'll just put this back. But they point out several other ways that he kind of screwed the company to enrich himself, and that's what the New York Attorney General is looking at.
Yeah. There was a couple other things other than that, like the SoftBank bailout, and also, like, SoftBank is trying to get the old investors out for pennies on the dollar, and I think the New York Attorney General is going to find some skeletons with that as well.
China is a perennial scapegoat. And, you know, they're having their own problems right now, so it's an easy time to kick them. When they've got their boot on Hong Kong, they can't kick back. So you just, you know, you take your shots when you can.
They can just flail.
And the one senator in particular is looking to advance his political career on the back of this.
GOP senator introduces bill to limit flow of U.S. data to China. The Hill article is a sad, the rest of the Hill article is just a sad, sad travesty that we could even approach doing that in any kind of logical or sane way.
So this is like about TikTok and Apple?
Yeah,
Apple is an interesting one to go after. I mean, that's a big monster to piss off.
We didn't include it this week, but did you see that Tim Cook got a question at that thing where, and it was like, hey, what are you doing with the pressure from China? And he said, oh, we don't really have any pressure from China. And
we're best buds.
I'm thinking back to like, well, you just removed a bunch of apps. You changed the China maps. You removed the Taiwan emoji thing. There's like five or six things going back to like 2016 where Apple's like actually done a lot of stuff at China's request. So
that wasn't pressure though. They just paid him off and it was fine.
So this is about where the servers are. I think in most cases they are in the respective country, but he doesn't want any communication between the two. He doesn't want there to be any situation where any U.S. data could ever cross over into the Chinese world. He wants basically segregation of all these Chinese companies and their own data, which that's really not the idea of the internet, is it?
Say an American internet. Where have we like seen that idea before with Russia? A Russian internet.
We talked a lot about AI being racist and bigoted, and last week we talked about how they hate women, and that's a problem in New York City. When they find a problem like this, what do? They create bureaucracy.
New York City creates a high-level position to oversee ethics in AI. This is just signaling to the unwashed masses that maybe New York City cares about it, but in reality, I don't understand how this is going to translate to anything good for citizens.
Do you have to submit your AI to this overseer?
I think it's more of it's even a higher level than that. But yeah, there might be some sort of regulatory arm. Right now, this is a mayor's office level position. And basically, somebody's just going to get a real cushy job.
Yeah.
Probably someone who doesn't, you'd be like, hey, what do you think about machine learning? And they'd be like, I think machines should learn.
It's someone's nephew who needs a job after college.
Pennsylvania, on the other hand, should get this week's level one applause of the week because the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has done something excellent.
Pennsylvania Supreme Court rules that police can't force you to tell them your password. This case, I thought this case was like not the perfect case for protection of privacy at all.
But it is. It is because we have to protect privacy even in this situation.
But I don't like that it was like a 4-3 ruling. This just barely close. Squeaked by. The ruling was basically like, look, you can't force somebody to give up their password to unlock their phone. You just can't. And this guy was actually a drug dealer or something.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is. But that doesn't mean it's okay to do that kind of thing. And speaking of police doing things that they shouldn't, although in that case, they were allowed to steal your password at gunpoint, essentially. But what they aren't allowed to do is run a background check on you unless there's a reason to do so. But, spoiler alert, they did a lot.
Isolated incident? Over 1,000 cops caught illegally accessing police database to stalk citizens. So this is the Free Thought Project. I thought this was the one from the EFF. I don't think this is the one from the EFF. But this is California and some other places. And this is still a mess. In terms of like all of the, the data access.
This is the weirdest site layout. Also, someone just came in the office, so you may get to hear some chatter.
Oh yeah, you might close the door.
So these are ones, just the ones that we know about. There are probably far more. And also, not only do we know about them, but we know that in almost every case, nothing was done, and at most, paid leave. Sounds kind of nice, doesn't it?
You stalked your ex-girlfriend? Here, have a paid day off and don't do that again. What? That doesn't sound like a real punishment.
Now, when it comes to just the insanity of the authoritarian monsters that are in charge of us, it's this story. And just like the password unlock story, it's kind of bad because this guy was super guilty. Super, super guilty. Definitely a meth dealer. But that doesn't make this okay.
Cops put a GPS tracker on a man's car and then charged him with theft for removing it. So they thought he was a meth dealer. They tracked his car. He found it. He took it and put it in his house. And they realized that it wasn't tracking anymore. So then they somehow got a search warrant for his house based on the suspicion that he stole the GPS tracker. And a lot of the judges here are like, I'm having a hard time getting how you came up with stealing, because there's this whole, with stealing, there's this whole intent thing. It's like, did you intend to deprive somebody else of their property? Because that doesn't, like, somebody puts something in your car, that's not okay. And he didn't know it was a police device. It wasn't labeled or anything.
I think he had a good idea.
Maybe he just thought it was like, you know, the tracker you get when you go to a restaurant. He was like, oh, I must have taken this.
My table's ready.
Yeah. That he had if he had an idea that it was law enforcement, though, that would actually weaken his case.
So this is in Indiana, and the wording of their theft laws is a little weird. It's it does leave some interpretation here, so I'm sure we'll get a Indiana Supreme Court, if not federal Supreme Court.
I'd say it'll make it all the way to the federal Supreme Court. And once again,
the corn court.
These kinds of cases are great for law enforcement because, you know, reasonable people will look at this and be like, okay, we'll give an inch in this case so law enforcement can put a meth dealer behind bars. But then before you know it, 5 years later, this law is being cited to just harass random citizens that haven't done anything wrong.
Now, you might be one of these people who gets down around the holidays. You get a little depressed. You really don't like the season.
I thought you meant like dancing, like get down.
Those people too. But, you know, some people just really don't like it. And you might be thinking, oh, this whole month, the traffic is bad. Grocery shopping is a nightmare.
We were discussing that before the stream.
There's nothing to look forward to. And let me tell you, you are wrong. Because December 3rd is going to be one of the most entertaining days that we're going to have for the entire year.
Elon Musk is going to face trial over the quote-unquote pedo guy tweets after a court has denied his motion to dismiss the defamation lawsuit.
This is a rough week for Elon Musk.
Elon Musk dug himself the most amazing grave ever with this one. It's going to be bad.
He should be doing everything he can to settle.
I can't believe this is still going on, because, like, didn't they rescue those boys, like, last year in, like, September?
You know, the slimiest argument he made here is that rescuing young boys from a drowning death made this guy a public figure and should invalidate the lawsuit.
The judge was like, what? Nope.
Are you high?
I can't wait for that.
Now, in business news, we're going to have some other news about Elon Musk, but that's in business news.
Well, it'll all be the same for them.
Don't worry, I see all 50 people in the chat that are like,
Wendell's slowly been writing down all their names, and I've seen some good usernames
in there. The chat is already a huge failure. We will not be doing this again. So we talk a lot about the problems with e-cigarettes and vaping. And by problems, I mean, you know, there was some weird outlaw pods that hurt some people, which doesn't really condemn it as a whole, except that it does, because the government just loves to come after them based on these deaths.
Juul has been sued by California for marketing e-cigarettes to teens. Marketing e-cigarettes to teens. Yeah, I messed it up.
That's fine.
It's hard to juggle everything.
I do the same
thing.
So
don't.
Ooh.
So, yeah. They are saying that, you know, hey, some people died. So in that case, you marketed to teens and we will destroy you. They used the same thing against the actual cigarettes companies and got a lot of money, which I think they're looking to repeat.
It's kind of sad because I don't think the e-cigarettes companies are making nearly as much money as big tobacco.
And I don't know. There's a lot of little shops around here now for the e-cigarettes.
Yeah, it is weird. Like that and CBD, I do not know who's buying from all of these different shops. Like, how are those all just money laundering for drugs?
Yeah.
Because, well, when you do go to prison eventually in this horrible future where everything's illegal and you can't really get away from it, I've got some bad news about your reading options.
In an age of disappearing prison libraries, jail profiteers are providing free, quote-unquote, crap gadget tablets that charge prisoners by the minute to read Project Gutenberg ebooks.
That's going
to
be bad for their literacy rating.
Project Gutenberg, I feel like that they missed out on their on their audience here, because Project Gutenberg books are books that are out of copyright. So
That's a really obscure joke, but it's good.
In Prison Architect, your prisoners have a need for literacy, and they get very upset if they can't meet it.
So it's 5 cents a minute to read books, 25 cents per text, 25 cents per email, a dollar per photo, like from a phone or you sending a photo, a dollar or maybe it's $5 for video, if you send a video.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't pay my prisoners that much when I make a prison architect.
Well, in a prison job, you make something like, what, $3 a day?
Yeah, it's really exploitive.
It's literally like cents, yeah. It's literally nothing.
You can read for maybe an hour a day. Of course, you work long hours in prison jobs, so you don't have time for reading.
This is one of those things that's like, what does it hurt to let them read? And then it's like, oh, no, but someone can profit off that. So
yeah, and they are shrinking the prison libraries along with this. So it's not like, oh, you just want the added convenience? No, you know, they're just stripping away all of the paper books.
It's really horrifying. Can you imagine if somebody, like, if we didn't have public libraries already today, and somebody was like, I think we should have a library in every community, a big building where you can go and borrow books for free that are current releases, and people can learn and enrich themselves, and they borrow it for a limited time and bring it back.
We'll run programs for the children and have computers and classes. And
yeah, people will be like, how are you going to pay for that, communist?
Yeah.
Canada. Canada doesn't get in the news nearly as often as all the other countries for doing, you know, horrible things that violate people's rights and, you know, kneeling to the corporations. But they are not immune to it.
Federal court approves first pirate site blockade in Canada. This is from Torrent Freak.
So this is the old ISP. It's one of those things where they'll sell you a little box and it serves you a bunch of pirated content. Now, the box itself doesn't contain pirated content, but there is a service, Gold TV, which will serve that content. And so the copyright cartel has said, you must block this at the ISP level.
You must block it at all costs.
And they pointed out that, you know, they're just going to change the IPs, they're going to get new domains, their VPNs get around it, and the copyright people were like, don't care, do it. The judge said so.
Mom said, you have to listen to me.
Julian Assange, we haven't talked about him in a while. He's just rotting still in prison.
He did not look good. Did you watch the video of him when he was at the trial thing? He looked like he had been abused as a human being. And he's not even like...
As a human being, as opposed to what?
He should be in like minimum security, like jumping bail or whatever the heck it is in the wacky European law that he's being held under is minor. It's a super minor thing. And he looks like somebody has been just beating him continuously. Sorry.
Who could imagine that would go on in prison? But he does have some good news. But wait, maybe it's not good news. Because going to Sweden versus where he is now, or where he's going to end up, which is Guantanamo, would be way better. Way better, even with rape charges.
Sweden has dropped the Julian Assange rape investigation. Prosecutor says that the county will not proceed with an investigation into the WikiLeaks founder.
I like that this 2020 will be a defining year for America. Like, that headline is bigger than the H1 for the actual headline.
Also, doesn't The Guardian paywall? Maybe not.
No, I don't think they do.
It has paywalled us in the past.
I thought so, yeah.
They have a very defined style guide.
Are they not paywalling us because they want us to help them reach their goal?
I'm not giving them a dollar. Filthy limeys.
Chat engagement challenge. Sorry.
China. They've been doing some things that has been taken in a negative light in the news. Very negative.
Yeah.
Oh, now's a good time to go ahead and renew our pledge. I think we forgot last week. I'm on week 6, I think, of no Activision Blizzard gaming.
Yeah, me too.
Me, no. No, I played Overwatch a little bit yesterday.
But you've got RimWorld and Prison Architect, and now
I do play Prison Architect. Just came out with the new expansion pack.
The zoo game.
The zoo game's hit or miss for me right now. We're gonna play it some more tonight if you guys are interested in watching Twitch streams. Was it Zoo? Planet Zoo. That's what it is. It's okay. I think it'll grow on me, but...
Like a fungus.
Yeah. Like the fungus that we have to research to make sure our habitats are okay.
Like the fungus mycelium network thing that we're going to read about later in the nonsense section of the news about 2 hours from now.
Well, China, what they have, they're busy crushing dissent, but that has not stopped them. It hasn't even slowed them down from reaching into the stars.
China now launches more rockets than anyone in the world. Through Sunday, the country has launched 27 orbital missions this year. China is really ramping up tech development. It's honestly very impressive.
Wonder how long before Musk accuses them of pedophilia.
I was thinking about
this
earlier.
Only if they personally insult him.
Like, their political motivations and like what they want to do, they're very transparent with it. But like, I was imagining a world as devious as Russia, but with the financial resources of China, and that would be very bad for the United States.
Isn't that just the U.S.?
Yeah. Well, not anymore. Our economy's like in the tank.
Remember that time that we banned Huawei? Yeah, that was, what was that, like, or spring?
About 3 months ago.
Late winter? That was more than 3 months.
Well, the deadline was 3 months ago.
But no, we've had 260-day extensions, or was it 290-day extensions?
I think it was 290-day extensions.
Well, this is the third one. So, yeah, it's been most of the year.
U.S. firms get a 90-day extension to work with Huawei on rural networks. So it was pointed out to some of the people in the federal government that literally no other company wants to touch rural networks because they're not profitable. Like, and they should be because of other reasons. But yeah, no.
Because there's no alternatives.
No company wants to touch it. Nobody wants to deal with it. So Huawei is literally selling equipment at a loss from the perspective of a competing American company. So how are we going to deploy infrastructure in rural areas without super cheap equipment? There's not exactly, you know, a different vendor at every local corner market for this kind of equipment. It's very specialized equipment.
But now you can't use the Universal Service Fund. So that's going to be interesting. Huawei, when asked for a comment about this, was like, no, this is still destroying us. Make no mistake. This really doesn't help because we can't make any future plans or bring on new customers. You are still choking us to death. Thank you. Now, speaking of China, probably not real high in most people's vacation destinations right now. I mean, it's a big place. You don't have to go to Hong Kong. But I got to think that there's going to be some, I don't know, there's going to be a weird vibe in the whole country right now. And another thing that you might not have thought about when you go to China is that they might not want to take your money. And by your money, I don't mean American dollars.
Foreign visitors visiting China are increasingly stumped by its cashless society. They get a picture there of, it's like, oh, you can pay with WeChat or Alipay wallet before harassing your barista. Okay, sounds good. The article also talks about a lady that was confused why she had to pay for toilet paper in a public restroom, and it turns out it's because people will steal toilet paper. That's also a thing in Taiwan, as I learned.
A thing in Mexico as well.
So,
it's a very curious custom. But
now there is a law in China that you must take the national currency as payment for a debt, but no one's telling these businesses that because they are totally violating that law and requiring you to use these online apps. The Communist Party may have a good reason to not care about that because you can't track cash.
I was thinking that, but it's like, eh.
India has, they made a big decision. They said, you know what? We're going to spy on all your phones. People were like, oh, wait a minute.
It's time to get into 2019 and start yeah, spying on our citizens.
And the people were like, but wait, you're not allowed to do that. We have rights. And the Indian government took a look at the laws and they're like,
India says law permits agencies to snoop on citizens' devices. Yes. I think we reported on this earlier in the year because citizens were upset that some law like this was about to pass. And this is more like, oh, no, we already had that right.
We just didn't tell you about it. But now we are.
Taking a page out of the U.S.'s book. Yeah, I mean, telling you how terrible we are.
To be fair, they were also spying on our phones without telling us. So,
It wasn't literally everybody, though. It was just the intelligence agencies. Now it's like all the way down to like your local municipal people are you know, using lawsearch.com to, you know, dig through your private conversation history in real time.
Here in the U.S., we like to laugh at Europeans when they talk about their fuel prices. Dear God, you people pay a lot for fuel. But even we have to look on in awe at the Middle Eastern countries who literally are just walking around on giant tanks of fuel because they have the lowest prices in the world, Iran being one of those up until recently.
Iran shuts down the country's internet in the wake of fuel protests. So this happened, I think, last Tuesday or Wednesday. The traffic from Iran just tanked. And then when investigating it, it was like, wait, is that because people were protesting fuel prices? Yeah, it turns out.
That's a beautiful city, by the way. But unrelated.
It's still, there's, like, even today, there's still very little internet traffic coming out of Iran. So we don't know.
Also, hilariously, the government is still tweeting, but Twitter's illegal.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
But their gasoline cost went up 50% overnight, which is a big shock. And they point out that the average monthly income in dollars is like $100, $200. So they can't handle a big shock like that on their income. And that's why people are taking to the streets. Our last big gas shock, let's see, it went to what, like $5 at one point around here?
It was over $5 for a while.
That was like more than 50% for us.
Yeah.
Above the norm. More like 100%. And people were upset. They didn't turn off the internet though.
So. There might have been a couch or two set on fire here and there, but it was fine.
Well, that's just because the sports team won.
Yeah. So that could be just a random Tuesday night. That could be anything.
I often, because I am an American and I don't care about certain European countries, I often struggle to remember if it's Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic.
I think it's Czech Republic.
It's the Czech Republic, and I know that because it's in this article. So now I don't have to embarrass myself. But the Czech Republic has decided to follow up on a lot of the EU countries and get on in that sweet, sweet tech tax.
The AP News has the article about the Czechs imposing a 7% tax on global internet giants. So if you make money in the Czech Republic, I guess, then you have to pay 7% of the money that you make there to the government. Which doesn't seem entirely reasonable. I mean, entirely unreasonable. Because it's just the money that's, you know, originating from that country. So I guess advertisers that pay for ads there?
Yeah, but they're never going to get a data center at this rate. I don't know. They might want to check themselves before they wreck themselves.
You were really, really holding on to that one.
Oh, Lord.
So that was the last news story. I don't know how we want. Do we want to stop and start?
We're going to let it roll.
Yeah. We're going to let it roll? Okay.
Ryan's going to get the next set of news stories ready.
Do we need a one tab for this?
Yeah. You should save the one tab so that people can have it, because I'll add it to the description later, because this will be replayable later. So, and we got a ton. All I was doing with the chat was just making a list of everybody to thank, which was quite a lot. So, Anders Turstrup. I don't know how to say that. I'm sorry. Thank you. Quantum Overrider, Elisha Donahue, Sebastian Krauthauser. Wow. Harry GTT, Nubbin. Thanks, Nubbin. Hank Van Het. The internet. The internet has given us money. Wow, that's a first. Thank you. Steve Gunnick, Hero6543, Elliot Demetis, Daniel Silva, Zartsnarf.
Zartsnarf made me laugh when you put that one in there. I saw that one go in.
K Harm, Marlou Exploit, Ed Fernandez 2, Gabriel Foot, Zartsnarf again, Nubbin again, John Wissink, Rad Shad, Samuel Swagger, Will Apostrophe, Lesser Shoe, Dan R. Hansen, Mark McKean. Hey, it's Mark. How's it going? Saw Brad Morris hanging out too. Thanks for, you know, say hi. Luke Shelby, Manjushri, Scott, George Rodriguez, Scott again, Scott a third time.
You don't know that was the same Scott.
It definitely was, because he had the same icon. And I was like, good Lord. One of the people was like, maybe I should join Patreon. Maybe. That would probably be, you know, that's good.
Consider it.
EK Elk 44 says, thanks for a good show. Will Quote says, ooh, me again. Will quotation mark, thank you. VPAL again, and VPAL a third time.
I gotta get my wiggles out.
All right, now, does anybody have any questions?
I'm kidding.
I do this for real.
Maybe we can get pro and add like an animated intro and multiple camera angles. It's like PC World. They have got a really good setup with multiple camera angles, and it's like, do they do that with like an actual camera operator? Because we can't afford to have a camera operator here during that. That's crazy.
Our editors will every now and then come in on the weekend, but usually they're off on the weekend, so.
Woo!
Oh, Forbes wants us to turn off our ad blocker.
I'm not going to do it.
How dare you?
Question for the live stream. Where do you get the ASCII art in the background? That is a terminal program called Hollywood. Mutation wants to know how Ryan's fuel economy is in the new Prius and when you're going to do a level 1 cats live stream.
It's not good. And I'm not bringing the cats to the office.
I want that to happen so bad he won't do it.
But it's such a... Like, they have to poop.
Constantly?
Do we want them to poop in the office? Well, I don't know about constantly, but how many... I'm sorry, listen, guys. Get your poop out now.
I do that with Rue. That's why dogs are superior.
V-Pal gave us another $2. Thank you. Anthony Rubio? Rabido gave us another $5. Green Brick gave us $2. Sam Hughes, Scott again. I am Scott.
Scott again. That should be his username.
Ike 44. It's like, does Stadia make my computer go to the loft? No. We're going to be talking about Stadia probably in this episode, maybe?
Yeah.
We got a You Are Amazing animated thing from LOL WTF LDR3.
You know what I find weird about the chat in Google, YouTube? It's like, when you do a smiley face, it's the weird, like, triangle puffy face smileys. They're not normal smileys.
Quasi says that he will subscribe to Patreon if there is a Ryan drunk cat news.
There probably will be a drunk news soon because it's almost holiday season. We usually just do that like once a year.
So who decides what a normal smiley is?
It's me. Look, they're all spamming it now. Look how weird those look.
Wizmaster gave us $20. Thank you. Scott again. Hink Van Het Internet. Oh, there we go. Thanks. I keep having iSCSI over USB disconnects when the monitor goes off on X370. Yeah, X370's USB is kind of a shit show. Try to find the USB ports that are directly into the CPU. Those work better. Let's not turn this into a tech support stream, though, please.
Or Twitter sometimes turns into that a little bit. I'll check it out.
I don't know when we're going to do the next drunk news. Maybe over the holidays if things continue as they have already been going. Star Citizen 890J says keep it up. William Jennerich says thanks. And gave us some money. Thank you. So, we are almost ready for the second part two, which is what is going to be the section for part two?
Business social.
Business news and social news.
Scott, we usually try to like organize the stories a little bit, but
Scott's giving us even more money. Well, Scott, you could get like a year-long Patreon subscription for that. You know, it's fine. Woo, 1602. It's like, here's some even more. Thanks, Scott.
Have we released the holiday vid? Was it released this weekend?
Oh no, that'll go out.
It won't be this week, right?
Tuesday. It'll go out Tuesday.
Holiday video coming out soon.
Oh,
that's like my favorite video to shoot every year.
Oh, me.
That and drunk news is fun.
Thoughts on Half-Life Alyx? We're going to talk about that. That actually made the news. So
we have thoughts.
Mutation posted a whole bunch of questions to the mod lounge. Thank you. That made things much easier.
Oh, yeah, so we want to try to, like, keep track of them.
How to manage 20 remote computers cheaply. Ninja RM. Look into it. You can also do Microsoft Autopilot. It's pretty inexpensive for what it is. So, we ready? All right. Giorgio Rafael and Scott again. What's better, drunk news or being drunk and sober watching the news? I don't know. Scott, are you drunk? Because I think you're going to regret some of these later. Burt1264 says, it's fine. Okay, we're starting. Gonna save everything for the end, so if you super Bye. Chat or anything, I'm not gonna say anything till the end.
Bye, we love you.
You don't have to say bye, Krista. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
we're staying here.
For God's sakes, our concurrent viewers should not go down. We're not talking about bye, it's fine. We're at 1,645 wow. concurrent viewers, so that's kind of a lot. Let's continue.
Watch us on Twitch later.
We're super boring. It's
fine. Amazon. Now, Amazon is throwing out some mixed signals here, right? Because last week they said hey, we're getting into the grocery business. And everybody was like, we know Amazon, you have Whole Foods. And they said, no, it's a new kind of grocery business. And I said, yeah, we know, you've got the Amazon Go. And they're like, no, it's a new kind of grocery business. That's just like every other kind of grocery business. And everybody was like, wow.
Amazon Prime Instant.
So it's not cashierless. And they said, yes, that's right. It's not cashierless. And then this week, they hit us with this.
Amazon plans to open a cashierless supermarket, a report says. How is this even...
Didn't they do this in New York like a year or two ago and it was like not that successful?
But it's very... I think it's in the West Coast, isn't it?
I thought I could have sworn it was in New York. Maybe. I could be wrong.
But that's a smaller store.
Yeah.
Much smaller.
It's like a corner store almost.
Bezos has no idea what he's doing. At this point, he's just saying things to grab headlines.
Well, that's Elon Musk.
Bezos is better at it, though, because he doesn't say things that can get him investigated by the SEC or sued.
Or on trial. Yeah. December 3rd.
Although that is, you know, I mean, it gets you in the news more if that's his goal.
He wants to be in our news specifically.
Speaking of negative press when it comes to Mr. Musk, although you got to say that this, I think this is just like, this is why we test, right?
Yeah.
We really can't hate on him too much for this one.
SpaceX's prototype Starship rocket partially bursts during testing in Texas. This was a nitrogen pressure test, I think, and it had a catastrophic failure. Although the rocket engine was not a total loss, like they were quick to point out that this is totally salvageable. It's not a complete wash.
How do you think the old people who live in the neighborhood across the street from this are feeling right now?
Feeling like they should have sold.
Yeah.
Also, apparently, there's just a ring of live streamers around the property line for this property, constantly streaming. So that's how we know that this blew up. They can't keep any secrets at SpaceX.
Otherwise wouldn't have said a word.
Maybe the most hyped news this week.
A lot of memes on this one.
Yeah, the most memed was the Cybertruck.
A lot of YouTubers got invited to that. I can't help but notice we didn't get invited.
I wonder why. This is... Like we've talked about this a little bit. We talked about it on the stream the other night. I don't know anything about cars really, and I don't have strong opinions on cars. But this is ugly. It's kind of ugly.
It's subjective. I happen to agree with you.
I realized there was something off about this car, and I realized what it was. This car is designed for the person that's like in the back of their mind thinks that society is probably going to collapse and they're probably going to have to defend themselves. This would be an excellent vehicle in post-apocalyptic America.
There's no roof rack for that.
Except that it wouldn't, because your charging stations aren't going to work in post-apocalyptic America.
Well, the solar though, like you got to have the trifecta. You got to have the solar house with the solar wall. And then you collect enough solar energy to charge the thing.
So if you're that rich, you don't have to worry about it.
Don't you have to have very high voltage to even charge these things?
I would imagine
so. No, you can charge them from the solar wall, so you could be completely off-grid with this. It would take a while, but you totally could.
You wouldn't...
You know what would be way easier? Is just looting diesel.
Yeah, well, I don't think that... Like, I'm not saying that, oh my god, I have to have one of these to survive the apocalypse. I'm just saying that's what... Like, there's that undertones of that. Because why else would you... say that like smashing the side panels with a sledgehammer. It's like, look, don't you want crumple zones? Isn't like 30 years of car crash science like you want crumple zones? So why would the sledgehammer thing except to survive the apocalypse? I mean,
for
that is an interesting, you know, conspiracy theory about who this is for. I would think this is more for rich heiress or heirs.
Don't most rich people think that those things are happening?
I don't think so.
I think this is for Instagram influencers and people who are desperate for attention and more money than sense.
Wendell, so, you did say when you came out, you were like, I kind of like the way it looks.
I do like the design. Like, I don't know what it is, but I mean, it's okay, whatever.
We got three builds, but here's how you need to control your hype machine, right? Slow it down, rein it in, because 2021, unless you want the really nice one, then it's 2022. Before they'll even start letting you think about building them.
Well, now, it's not even 2021 because it says configuration as production nears in late 2021.
And remember the predictions about the Model 3?
That
they were a little late.
Production nearing at the end of 2021 is Elon code for you might see it end of 2022. Maybe. So the other thing's going to be even beyond that. So they're going to be manufacturing it in 2022 for the super fancy motor one. which means you're going to get it in 2023.
So, who, like, I just want to know, who is the target market? Because if you want a truck, you usually want something that's, like, rough and ready and, like, I can go take it out on the farm and go mudding.
Well, it's the same people who ran out and bought SUVs, even though they don't need SUVs.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're just taking them to Costco. Apple. Apple, traditionally, even though they have ridiculously overpriced products that they won't let you repair on your own, and they've had some issues with their operating systems being a little bit buggy, they have let you post reviews on their website. And they've even let the really bad ones stay on there. But that all seems to have ended just this week.
Apple pulls all customer reviews from the online Apple Store. This was because of the MacBook Pro 16-inch, or at least so the article author theorizes.
Well, there was one YouTube video that was hating on it and showing off all the bad reviews. Could Apple really have reacted? Like, that's a big knee jerk, don't you think?
Is Apple that petty?
I think they are. Oh, is that a clever lead-in for the next story because of the developer guy that got his account banned?
No. I'm really saying, like, that seems like a little bit of an overreaction.
No, that's Apple. Apple is petty like that.
That's on brand.
Have you seen all the terrible things that Apple has done to Louis Rossman's just trying to repair some shit? I mean, Apple would totally be that petty.
Well, that's... I guess it costs them money in different ways.
Yeah.
So, the other thing about Apple is they kind of got on that Microsoft Bethesda bandwagon where it's like, hey, you know what? Just make it and ship it. People will figure out what's wrong with it and they'll tell us. You know, now that we have Twitter, we have an instant feedback. So we'll just they'll tell us and we'll fix it. It works
that's
great.
Useful.
But
Twitter
Apple,
feedback.
They're not. They've tried it and it's not working out for them.
Apple reportedly focusing on its buggy iOS problems again with iOS 14. iOS 13 has forced Apple to rethink how it tests iPhone updates. So Apple did add a lot of telemetry, really similar to Microsoft. I'm surprised that it's flown under the radar for reporting bugs. But that telemetry doesn't report when things are just weird. So like a user using something and it doesn't crash, but it doesn't necessarily react the way that a user would expect. Those telemetry and monitoring services can't deal with that. And so you need the human testers as well as the automated stuff to really have an overall polished experience.
But those are expensive.
Human beings? Not in third world countries, they're not.
Google Stadia came out last week, and a lot of people were unimpressed by the list of features that it was going to launch with.
That's a generous way of interpreting it.
Also, the list of games. Well, it did launch, and the reviews are in, and it's pretty much what everybody thought.
Google Stadia review, game streaming's future isn't here yet. This is an amazing CNET article that really, it's got the kid gloves on for Stadia, but Stadia is a dumpster fire. It launched with almost none of the features that it promised, not very many games. The games that it does have are not compelling, and for what it is, it kind of costs a lot. Gamers Nexus did a review on this that is just, it's amazing. You should check it out.
Wasn't it literally like 10 games? It was literally
12.
It was almost nothing.
It's just, it's so bad.
And so what he points out is it's not, the video looks pretty good on a TV, not quite as good as if you had a dedicated console or PC, obviously. It's, the latency is okay, not quite as good as if you had a dedicated console or a PC. But he paid $120, plus he paid full price for the games. So he paid full price. For a lesser experience.
He did point out that some of the games cost less, but those are mostly older games.
But I don't think they cost that much anymore. Like, they're not full price if you bought them from Steam either.
Or, like, good old games. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true. He didn't mention that, but that is true.
Google is more and more, we talk about this a lot, their internal people are uppity. It's the only word I think you could use.
They need
for
to remember
them.
Their station.
And they're having meetings and they're getting upset about all this political stuff.
No bread.
Google doesn't know what to do. So it's going to for some outside help.
Google hires firm known for anti-union efforts. Oh, I don't remember the name. We got paywalled.
Yeah.
Google should not have hired this firm. Like, Google employees are not morons. And by Google hiring, smart and naive are not necessarily the same
idealistic
thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And this firm, like, this firm is clear signaling to Google's employees that they will have none of this. They're in the business to make money now. They have transitioned.
Well, really transition? You know, maybe the curtain has been pulled back, I think would be a better way to put that.
Don't be evil was never the objective.
Intel is getting into the video card game, and you know, we're all waiting to see what the desktop one is going to be. This is not that. This is for the supercomputer AI world, but it is 7 nanometers. Hey, right? They finally did it.
Intel's first discrete GPU for supercomputers is a 7-nanometer Ponte Vecchio. I don't know how to say that.
Vecchio. Ponte. I don't know if it's Ponte or Ponte.
I don't know. They're leveraging Foveros. Now, Intel's got some cool chip glue. Like, remember when they were referring to AMD's stuff as like, oh, they're just gluing stuff together? Legit, Intel's glue is actually cooler than AMD's glue. And this is some bleeding-edge technology for gluing stuff together.
Going to be some good deepfakes coming out of that. Just wait. Exciting. Speaking of technology that most people don't have in their homes, how about VR? And maybe the killer app has finally landed? I don't know.
Half-Life Alyx hits PC VR headsets in March 2020, updated. If you get the Index headset, you get it for free. Otherwise, you can pre-order it for $60. So apparently, if I understand correctly, you've got like a gravity gun in your gloves. And so that solves some of the interactivity issues with like VR titles where like you have to pick up, you know, tools or whatever. You can just gravity gun things to your hand. Okay.
But also, like, what I'm most impressed by, at least from what I've seen, it looks like you're not just limited to standing in one spot. You're supposed to have like free movement.
Oh, there's like 3 different movement modes, but one of them is, yes, just use a stick to move around.
Yes.
Although
I feel like that would make me very sick.
Yeah, you might have to strap on a vomit bag. I mean, a lot of people are sensitive to that.
I tried playing The Forest in VR and it was...
Is that how that works?
Very, very vomit inducing.
Does it have the free walk?
Yeah, you can just run around, like just like you can in the real game, but when you're in that VR setting, you feel like you're running, but you're not really, and it just gets very nauseous very quickly.
For those of you who are thinking, oh my God, they're going to finish the story. No.
No.
This is a, what do you call it when it's between the first and the second game? A midquel?
An exposition?
A safe bet?
It's not going to add anything new to the story. It's just going to show a little episode that came in between.
It's so depressing because how can you possibly have a satisfying end to Half-Life, the Half-Life saga, when... You know, the whole population of the Earth is rounded up in cities like that. It's a good story. It's a cautionary tale.
Well, the ending doesn't have to be happy.
I think they said they're never going to finish it, right? Like, they're never going to have an ending.
Yeah, Gabe in this was like, the whole VR revolution has reinvigorated us to work on games, which I guess.
I mean, there are a lot of really epic stories that have terrible endings, like world history.
Like this timeline, you mean?
Who has a better story than Bran the Broken?
This line is...
Microsoft got in trouble with their Office 365 in the EU because somebody in the EU went and looked at the Office 365 terms and said, this is illegal.
I don't know if it was the terms or the network traffic. It's like, hey, when I launched Word, I uploaded 3 megabytes of data to Microsoft. What's up with that?
So Microsoft, in response to that, has gone back, and they're changing it for everybody.
We're changing all your cloud contracts after privacy complaints. Microsoft will roll out new cloud contractual terms after EU regulators found the old ones violated privacy laws. So, well, it wasn't clear to me if Microsoft was changing the terms of the contract to permit that type of collection.
Well, I don't think they're allowed to do that under the GDPR, right?
Well, if they're not allowed to collect user data, but they may be able to collect technical data in terms of like how users are using the program, as long as it can't be tied to a person.
I definitely think that more than the spirit of the GDPR, they're just covering their ass.
Yeah.
By saying that, yes, you must agree to this to keep using this product that we've already sold you. And if you agree to this, we're not in trouble for all these things that we're obviously doing. That's the world we live in. And it's interesting that every time a cool new thing comes about, when it comes to online shopping or whatever, it's a good place to go to find deals, it inevitably is a victim of its own success. It gets good enough for some big entity to get interested in it and buy it and ruin it. You know, GitHub. And I think that's what's happening to Honey.
PayPal to acquire shopping and rewards platform Honey for $4 billion. So, yeah, they have a browser extension, and I think they actually approached us at one point about doing ads, and like I looked into it, and it's like, okay, there's a browser plugin and there's a website, and it basically watches what you do on the internet. And then if you're about to buy something, it can see your credit card details, potentially, theoretically, and it's like, eh, this might be a scam. Turns out it was legit. That was years ago. And it's actually pretty cool.
For now.
If you read PayPal's announcement about this, it's very dystopian. Because they're like, yeah, forget trying to track ads. We're going to track you before you ever get to the store.
Yeah.
It's great. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it definitely reads like some of PayPal's interest in this is just that they didn't think they could get away with that level of spyware before.
And it's already installed.
Yeah.
You've got X number of installations. People already use it. That and $4 billion. If you ever want to question how much money big data is worth, this is a browser extension for $4 billion.
Thank you to our supporters because we didn't run that ad. ...
I'm cutting this story because it was stupid. Sometimes you normally you wouldn't see that.
You wouldn't see us cut out. It was behind the curtain. It was not a nothing burger.
It's been a while since I think AI has solidly taken the buzzword. The buzzword of the year for 2019 has to be AI or machine learning, right?
Yeah.
Not blockchain.
No, blockchain's very 2018.
Very 2018. But Walmart apparently still living in 2018.
Walmart launches the world's largest, quote-unquote, blockchain-based freight and payment network. Walmart Canada's blockchain hits the sweet spot for supply chain industry as it solves issues such as invoice dispute resolution and real-time data distribution. Yeah, a lot of the time, shipping companies and receivers, they do have a lot of problems managing this kind of thing. There was the Maersk ransomware that we reported on last year where, like, that worldwide shipping company, all their stuff was shut down. Walmart's looking at this for blockchain, and having all of this data distributed makes it immune to pretty much to single points of failure. So in terms of fulfillment, shipping, individual truckers, independent companies getting things to and fro, this is great. And it also means that it's a lot harder for a shipping company to be like, no, you told us to deliver this on Tuesday. It's not our fault that all of the goods in here have spoiled.
But unlike the Bitcoin blockchain, which is what you'd compare these things to, this only has 9 nodes. And it's basically private. So if you were, you know, like a super hacking team and you got to all 9 nodes simultaneously, you could just completely rewrite Walmart's history and steal all their trucks.
So you're saying you need the 9 rings of power?
That's exactly what I was saying. We talked about WeWork. Actually, we kind of already talked about this. I'm not going to cut it, though, because...
We've already started.
It was the government part. This goes really well. Sometimes that happens with these stories. WeWork to lay off 2,400 employees in SoftBank revamp. We talked about that in the last segment. This story on Reuters has a lot more details about what they plan to do. This is one of the things that the New York Attorney General is investigating WeWork for, because this is not okay from a labor practice standpoint, so...
This is my favorite. So these are WeWork employees in New York, and they're just like outside hugging each other. And the reporter went to them, and they're like, how do you feel? Are you crushed by this? And a lot of them said, you know what? It was actually kind of getting real weird. I'm kind of glad it's over. It was not a happy time at WeWork.
That CEO guy was running around in leather chaps the entire time. I don't
Ashless.
Know.
But they do have to, the severance packages, I think, are pretty generous because they fumbled it so bad.
What does it say about society and a reflection of ourselves in general? It's like the idea of WeWork is just co-working spaces. How do we screw that up so badly that just leasing some office space and having, you know, the cleaning crew clean it as often as is required and keep up with which tenants are making a mess so you could say something like, that's just, you know, that's like Airbnb of office space. How did they
screw up Airbnb too?
I mean, it's...
Well, they pointed it out. He was branching off into all these other unrelated things, and he felt like he was the world's ultimate entrepreneur. You know, he wanted to have 5 different businesses instead of doing one really well, Elon Musk.
I was thinking the same thing. I didn't want to say it, but...
If we're ever independently wealthy from doing all of this stuff, we should just randomly select like 5 people in chat, like find a company like that that's failing at, you know, and just be like, all right, can 5 random people that we've just selected from the internet run something like WeWork better than this person?
5 random? No. Let's not squander our money like that.
Turned into a reality TV show. Anybody in Hollywood listening?
People don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
Uber is also having their monetary issues, but that's not what this story is about. This story is about somebody getting a hold of some data and crunching it, and maybe correlation is not causation. I'm not sure. It does seem pretty obvious that this would follow.
After Uber arrives, heavy drinking increases. So if you're in a neighborhood and Uber comes to the neighborhood or the township or whatever, all of a sudden the populace can really just go crazy with heavy drinking because, hey, there's always going to be Uber drivers to take me home, right?
I like how there's this little tiny dog leg here, and it's like, here's Uber, and everybody's like, maybe we should drink less. Nope.
That's clearly what that graph implies.
But, I don't know, the Economist kind of painted this with a negative brush, but...
Isn't that being more responsible, though?
Yeah, even if individuals are abusing more alcohol, isn't that infinitely better than somebody getting killed by a drunk driver?
Yes.
I mean, you destroying yourself is always better than you destroying someone else.
So does that mean that those people were introspective enough to be like, no, I can't drink like a crazy person because I have no way of safely getting home?
It's
Oh, now I've got Uber.
How did they define heavy drinking?
It was like they did different categorizations, but one of them was definitely binge drinking.
Was
right?
it like
Which is, was white, that like 5 drinks in an hour or something like that?
White girl wasted on White Claws.
I'm sure those were in the data set.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Those cans just littering the streets.
It is amazing how popular those are among college students now.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I can't imagine what the taste is because apparently it's just like seltzer water with a little fruit flavor, right?
When we do the drunk news, we should try it.
Okay.
You can.
What are you going to drink?
I don't know. Probably something stupid.
Listen, I'm comfortable enough in my masculinity. I'll drink a white girl drink.
Me too.
I'll drink a White Claw and a Zima and a Red's Hard Lemonade all at the same time. Mike. Does Mike still make Hard Lemonade?
Mike, yeah, they do. That's still very popular.
Oh, he's got the Angry Orchard Cider. I had one of those the other day, and it was shockingly good.
Those are good.
Yeah, because it's...
It's just apple juice.
It's sugar.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Well, System 76. They are a PC company who will sell you a machine with Linux on it. Dell does that now. It's not as rare as it was in the past, but System 76 was the first, I think, or one of the first, maybe the first big company to actually do it. And... now they're getting in the business of making their own.
System 76 will start designing and building its own laptops beginning January 2020. This is a Forbes site. Jason, I don't know how to pronounce your last name. I'm so sorry. Evangelo? Jason Evangelo. He's covered a lot of Linux stuff in the past. And he's become a voice of reason in the Linux community, which is pretty awesome. And this is about System 76 and their move towards like, hey, people that like Linux and open source stuff really would like some decent to high-end laptops that tick the boxes in terms of performance and openness, because there's all this stuff lurking in like the firmware, and maybe we don't want Intel's management engine in laptops and that sort of thing. And so System 76 is listening to those customers, but System 76 is also finding ways to work with vendors to rapidly produce prototypes without a lot of expense for, you know, a relatively niche / boutique market. So this is a really interesting write-up because it's an interview with the CEO.
The Linux boutique.
Most trading platforms have either gone to or are looking into going to zero commission. How do they do it? Well, they sell your data. That's the value of big data. And in the financial world, it's even more valuable because they can actually sell that data in real time to high-frequency algorithms that will front-run you and steal your money. But, hey, it's commission-free, right? And now a new front in the commission-free war has been opened.
Bloomberg has the article that zero commission trading is coming to crypto, and I totally didn't see this article at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shapeshift is it's an exchange where the crypto is on your end. Like the wallets are local instead of being out there in their wallet. And they just facilitate the trading between different types of cryptocurrencies. And now they're not going to charge commission anymore.
Hmm.
Still have to pay the mining fee if there is one. But you don't have to pay commission.
Interesting.
So you can sit and day trade crypto to your heart's content without those pesky SEC rules about day trading. I should have put this one with the Cybertruck one, but it's that kind of day. We're doing it live. So Ford has decided to get into the performance electric car world by taking an iconic classic and destroying it.
Great artists steal. Why Ford's Mustang Mach-E was inspired by Tesla in all the right ways.
This car at the front of it, you know, sometimes like you see a face in it. This one looks like he's like grimacing a little bit.
Yeah, because he was like, I used to be something that people liked.
Referring to the Mustang.
Yeah, his nose is, you know, it's odd.
So as you can see, this has far too many doors to be a Mustang. And it's kind of a half SUV. I don't know what it is, but it's bad. And
this has got midlife crisis written all over it.
Does it, though?
See, for me, I look at this and I think, that's fine.
Yeah, this is like a mommy car.
I'm the kind of person who like just doesn't care. So like, does it get me from point A to point B? Fantastic.
There it is. I mean, it looks just pedestrian.
That looks like a fine piece of automobile
now
that gets you from point A to point B.
This is electric, so of course they have to make it all about Tesla. But I will give it up. They borrowed.
Borrowed in quotation marks with like giant blinking neon.
So yeah, I guess it'll be okay.
That's a thing that exists.
Well, I don't think you can buy it yet, but it's going to exist.
Soon, TM. Actually, this is really just like all this press coverage is just Ford's experiment to see how interested people are in it before they actually commit to building them.
That would actually probably be smart, yeah.
Moving on to social media. Zuckerberg, he has a little bit of a problem with location tracking because I think in a move to impress some of the advertisers, he was like, listen, bro, we don't need that phone location to be turned on. We got them. And because of that, this is the hot new thing to do, the lawmakers hear that, and they got some questions.
Senators have asked Zuckerberg to explain Facebook's location tracking policies. And this is going to be really tough for him to do if the whole Senate testimony thing is any indication.
Well, I mean,
he just offers them some fried goat.
If his job was to explain to senators how a water hose works, it would be a tough thing to do because they're idiots.
I think that part of what they're talking about is things like Facebook has put a lot of work into inferences in their software. So like, even though GPS is disabled, think about other ways that your phone would know where you are. What wireless network are you on? What other devices does it see around you? What is your IP address?
Cell towers.
Yeah.
But these are all, I think, quote unquote, industry standard.
Yeah.
It's not Facebook that necessarily figured all this out.
Oh, yeah. We've got the other story about the French company that was doing the DNS hackery, which is maybe a good story to do next.
They're really upset that we're using ad blockers today.
Oh, no, that's
always the case.
Yeah, the advertising companies in general have always done really insidious things to build that profile because theoretically,
so lucrative.
You can sell more stuff.
And perhaps the highest profile criticism of Zuckerberg and his empire this week came from none other than Ollie G.
Sacha Baron Cohen has launched a scathing attack on Mark Zuckerberg, Business Insider. This headline, a little bit clickbait. Mark Zuckerberg is mentioned, but he mainly, Ollie G, Borat, whoever, was talking mainly about Silicon Valley billionaires and Mark Zuckerberg in particular, but mostly Silicon Valley billionaires, about how they're going to destroy society as we know it because they shape opinion and they shape discourse and that kind of thing. And he wants Facebook to ban the political ads that are lying, which I think is a pretty dangerous slippery slope.
Well, I think he wants them to shape it. So his big argument, this was an ADL speech. So he was talking about how, you know, the Nazis, the most overused meme of the century, that the Nazis have a platform on Facebook and that Facebook is not doing enough to silence the Nazis. So he wants more regulation and oversight from these companies.
And that seems like a dangerous thing to invite, given...
Let Facebook decide who is lying and who isn't, and that's okay.
It's also really interesting, considering this is a guy who does very controversial humor. Yeah. That a lot of people would rather see not there.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people would love to get rid of him off the airwaves.
Has he really... Has he been anything else other than, like, since the Borat age?
Yeah, he just did, like, another hidden camera, like, dress-up movie, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of his niche now.
I mean, he is a brilliant guy. That stuff is... that was, like, rolling the aisles funny, those movies, when he first did them. And the Ollie G thing.
See, I watched the Borat movie, and I didn't think it was that funny. There were some good moments, but...
The big Ollie G joke is, like, every time somebody would say something... Like, they were offended by him. He'd be like, yo, is it because eyes black? And it's like, bro, that's racial humor. So, that's a thin line, isn't it?
I think he took what he was doing in the movie The Dictator and just took that over the top, like, as if he was, like, a real, not a dictator, but, like, a believable character working for another country here in America. And so, like, people in political positions were like, oh, yeah, if we need to kill a few kids to do whatever, that seems fine. And it's like, did we just get that on camera? Okay, let's continue on. But I don't know. I haven't seen it. I got to check that out.
Now, Krista, you love parasites.
Yes. One of the ways that I knew my husband was the one early on was he would watch Monsters Inside Me. I think our third or fourth date, we watched that together.
Is that a Planned Parenthood production?
No, it's not. It's about parasites.
That's what I'm saying. I thought this story would appeal to you. Now, there are people who are on Facebook. Hey, Facebook misinformation, right? Who are convinced that they are chock full of parasites. And perhaps more disturbingly, that their children are full of parasites. And you got to get them out no matter what.
On Facebook, fears of parasites push people to post pictures of feces and pursue dangerous remedies. It's like, oh man, do you think I've got the infection? Here's a picture of my poop. And it's just...
We're living in like the darkest timeline.
It really is. Just...
And
that's something you quietly Google incognito mode. You don't post that on Facebook.
Yeah, but you can't just upload your poop to Google and get a response yet.
You've got to learn how to describe it effectively. The public school system is not teaching us how to do that.
We've got to slow down the rate of the adoption of technology. This is just unacceptable. These people were not ready for electricity.
Obviously, what happens when you upload a picture of your poop and say, oh my God, do I have parasites in my poop? There are just a deluge of people who say, yep, and you better buy these pills from me. And that seems
don't forget to,
be, to
drink this cup of bleach.
Yeah, that's the big, I think turpentine is actually what they advertise in the script. And that's the biggest thing. Actually, one woman got raided because she was selling some, you know, bootleg anti-parasite stuff on here. And she actually was like, I'm taking the group private. I'm going into hiding. But you can still get your pills. We just have to be secret about it.
Just take a Bendazole from a doctor. Not from some shady person on Facebook.
Well, I'm torn because there's this other Facebook group that talks about, like, the benefits of having certain kinds of parasites in your digestive tract. And it's like...
You're thinking bacteria, not parasites.
No. In like, India or somewhere, they give you tapeworms if you start to have a weight problem. And it's like, okay.
That's
why we have an FDA.
They do that in Mexico, too. Don't do that. Weight loss parasites, they work, but you're going to be sick.
I'm mostly kidding.
So we talked about Congress coming after Facebook, and it seems like every week now, Congress has something that they want Facebook to answer for. But that the teeth and claws that they're using might seem to be dulled a little bit when you peel back the curtain and look at the makeup of Congress and its staff.
Dozens of Facebook lobbyists have been tied to members of Congress, and investigation shows. What they mean by tied to Congress is that the people that are working for Facebook lobbying used to work directly for these Congress critters.
Congress critters.
They have some great charts. So there's Facebook. Yeah.
What a helpful diagram.
Looks pretty cozy. These are the lobbying firms and the employees and how they interact with the lawmakers. And think they had another one. Oh, is that the only one? I thought there was another one. Anyway, it's the old revolving door. And let's see. What other example can I think of? Oh, a Jeep Pie. Yeah. That's what you get when you get this.
Getting I mean, pie for Thanksgiving.
Because he really should be brought up on criminal charges. I can think of no better, more blatant example of government corruption.
Well, there's a lot better examples, but I agree with you that he should be brought up on charges. So, YouTube. YouTube is a wasteland of copyright and patents and people, you know, going after each other, stealing your money.
It turns out this was a nothing burger. This didn't actually come from YouTube.
But he didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The thing about it, and people, actually the last couple of weeks, people have been more one or two comments, but like, I hate the intro music. We don't have a lot of choice.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Gavin McLeod makes some excellent, to give it away for free, he's a pretty good musician.
Yes.
Can we just say that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But the problem is, you want to put something in there. I agree, intros should be like super brief, but you want something. And you scour the internet, and you're like, is this okay? Can we use this? I don't really know. And this guy got really screwed in his search.
Royalty-free music supplied by YouTube results in massive video demonetization updated. So the specific one was Clouds or something. And I can't remember the title. Scroll down. It was Cloud something or other. Dreams. Okay, so I got that wrong.
But
Dreams by Jordan Crowd.
I think the Cloud part. So like... There was only a sample in Dreams, and I think that was from Clouds.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it took this long for them to figure out.
That song's from 1957.
So this guy used it. Now, it came from a YouTube channel called Free YouTube Library, but like the Federal Reserve, not actually related to YouTube,
yeah.
Despite the name.
And logos. So there's pictures of like what the channel looked like at the time this video was made, and it seemed like it was an official channel. It was not an official channel. It has since been updated. To
indicate that better?
Yeah, indicate that a little better. So
the power of branding.
It wasn't like they used the YouTube music library. It was just the other thing. But good Lord.
Yeah, the headline makes it sound like they're using the official YouTube library.
Well, he thought that. It's only recently come out that it wasn't official. And YouTube, actually, they didn't respond to this for a while. They're the ones that dropped that bomb on him. It's like, sorry, bro. But that's not us.
There is actually like a sound resource, like
yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
And you can tell, but like it's not just someone's channel; it's an actual like.
But he didn't understand that.
Yeah,
he thought that's what he was using.
It's not easily found, which just another sign that YouTube's kind of asleep at the wheel. Like their UX is just all over the place.
Listen, just use Gavin McLeod.
Yeah, Incompetech.com.
That's the only option.
Which is the greatest domain name ever. It's like, aren't we all just Incompetechs?
It's too bad he got to that before we did.
So, you being followed has become one of the greatest motivators of humans that's ever been figured out, which is ridiculous because you shouldn't want to be followed. You should be angry and scared if someone's following you. But we're so desperate for attention as a species. We're so broken that we want people to appreciate what we appreciate so badly that we will let Google exploit us for it.
Google Maps to test a social networking feature with the ability to follow local guides or subscribe on live streams or have super chat or anything like that, really.
So you can go and let's say that you follow somebody on Google and you think they're the greatest person ever. You know, Elon Musk. Oh, he's a influencer wherever in California. You could go to the same coffee shop he went to this morning. Oh my God.
Wouldn't it be?
That's horrifying.
Yeah, it's like the people. See, I like to look at the people who leave really negative reviews, and then I like to look at their other reviews to see. It's like, are they just negative about this one business, in which case it's probably a legitimate complaint, or are they just negative about everyone?
That could be fun. You could follow the most negative. It's like, I just want to have a terrible day.
Yeah.
I want to get the worst food and service. I just want everything to be bad.
My point being, like, if someone smells shit wherever they go, it's probably not the business. It may just be the, you know.
What if you made your guide experience debunking bad reviews on all the other places?
Sometimes, like, the business owner will reply, which that's some hot drama to read in Google reviews.
Yeah.
I love the screenshots of the ones where people leave a crappy review and then the reply is just like, I'm not giving you free food because you're an influencer.
Or there was one where someone was upset because like their food didn't come in on time and someone was like, sorry, the person who was taking your phone call like had a seizure and had to go to the hospital, which we told you.
Yeah.
And you didn't care.
Well, that's unacceptable.
I had a peanut seizure. It's like, we have a sign on the door that says peanuts. And the server was like, do you have a peanut allergy?
The server was dressed as Mr. Peanut.
Offensive in its own way.
So we talked about Instagram getting rid of the like count, which has really disrupted some people. It's rocked the boat. And now Twitter is perhaps taking the opposite approach. They want to really diffuse the situation. Because Twitter, if you didn't know, gets a little political.
Twitter says it will let users hide all the replies to tweets. So yeah, it's like you're looking, like you post something to Twitter and then it derails immediately. I've had this experience and then it's just like, oh no. And then people are going at each other in your comments. You can just hide all those replies. It's fine.
See, I think this is like, you're thinking the most positive way that that could go down. I think it's going to be, you know, company releases product or has some sort of controversy and they're just going to shut down all the comments so that way, you know, people can't get a good review, like an actual review of the thing.
Well, if you're looking at Twitter to get reviews of things, there's your first mistake. Do you think our president will use this feature at all?
Oh, he probably won't be allowed to.
No. Well, no. It's would he? I don't know.
Because remember, he's not allowed to, like, block people.
But that's not the same as, I don't know, that's a good question. I'm sure that will come up.
It's going to go to the United States Supreme Court. It's like, never mind the militarization of the police force or, you know, forfeiture or anything like that. We need a Supreme Court case about what the president is doing with Twitter. So that's the end of this section of the news. We're going to get the next section ready, which is what?
Robots, nonsense, and security.
Robots, nonsense, and security. You know, I should have posted a link to this to Patreon. I'm sorry, patrons.
Oh, I can't believe it. I actually did post it to Twitter before we started and forgot to do Patreon, so that's also on me.
We will upload a link to the video on demand playback thingy to Patreon, so should be good. And thanks to the Super Chat people, Juggernaut Demon, Scott, Console Works Vids, Fifth Piston, Console Works Vids again, Sued It Off the Cuff, who had a very long message that says, hey, you crazy smart kids, blah, blah, blah. Love it very much, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's like the old Slashdot and Ars Technica and Half-Life, yes. And thank you very much. You've been chatty in the chat that I've noticed, so thank you. Robert McLeod and Ian Sinclair, or Ian. Did you say Ian or Ian? Well, thank you. Thank you all for the support. We've got to get other stuff ready.
Everyone get your wiggles out while we're on break.
Can I talk you into getting me a water?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you want one?
Or
you got
yours? Actually, I need a refill.
He's got the Thermos Master Race, so. What happened to the Rimworld colony?
Still there.
Scott gave us another $100 earlier, and I think, or I don't know, it's still up there at the top, so thanks, Scott, and like $10. And it's like between those three people, like Scott and I think it was Ian Sinclair and somebody else, that's like half of the income from this stream, which is incredible. It's just utterly insane. Sude Off the Cuff. Yes, thank you very much. It is much appreciated. Suede Off the Cuff. A la non-filtered. Okay. Thank you for the pronunciation guide. Suede like Suzot, I guess.
I got to... here's another bonus of the live format. I got to go take an anti-kidney stone break.
Well, it's fine. I'll entertain the chat with more random questions because, good Lord, they've got a lot of questions.
Does he need to pee? He's got the bladder of an
Ian.
Ant.
Other pronunciations are wrong. Well, sounds good. Sounds good, Ian. Mark Studio. What not a cup of a hot cup of Earl Grey tea soon? Will you ever come to Floatplane? Oh, we've got the Floatplane announcement video. So, yes, we are coming to Floatplane. We're already on Floatplane. We just got to actually post videos
We filmed an intro for it. And then, I don't think, in the wave of, like, holiday insanity, we've not gotten it edited and put up.
Scott says, my name is pronounced Scott.
I didn't know. It's Scoot. Scott.
Nice.
Weird blobby smiley face.
So good.
Catch a bubble in your mouth.
What are we running on the background displays? It's a shell script called Hollywood. Woo.
I'm afraid to like open chat in my YouTube because I'm afraid it's going to play us and then it'll be weird.
Yeah, it's going to definitely remember everything. This is the last part of the news that's coming up. There's so much nonsense this week. It's crazy. But see, it's a holiday week here in the U.S., so getting this thing edited and all that kind of stuff would have been problematic. I don't know what our, you know, rest of the year holiday schedule is going to be for the news. We might end up skipping a week or doing another live stream. So it is, it's possible.
Are you going to have to go to Eastern Kentucky for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to the land of no technology for a while. I mean, not really, but just to deal with other things.
I was going to say, because your family moved closer to you now.
Yeah. Woo, 16202 gave us... Will quote gave us another thing. Says, my name is pronounced Trill. Not Thrill, Trill. Will quotation mark. Christopher, thanks for streaming. Scott gave us another $50.
Scott,
you madman. Oh, it's pronounced S-C-O-T-T. Scott with an S-C-O-T-T. I don't know if that's...
Thank you for streaming. It was... So we stream on Twitch as well, if anyone's interested in the live format. So you can ask us questions on there.
Twitch.tv/TeamPGP.
Because TeamPGP predated Level 1 text by like a year.
Johnny Winter, Google is evil, $5. Oh, yeah, thanks. There's somebody that gets it. All right, we're getting ready to get started. So.
Actually, no, we got to sort.
I want a piece of strawberry.
Yeah, I got to sort the stores. So you may,
I'm going to have a snack.
I'm going to have
fine.
Your entire strawberry.
Scott says, thoughts on IPFS? It would not fit into the space that we have here. This is a THICC stream. Check the rate.
Thick.
ARS20. Thank you. I don't know. Thick. Google and Siebel gave us another $5. Your cohorts are the best. I've been with you since the dark days. What does Ryan call his haircut, says Ryan Hutchison.
What does your barber call it? Do you still go to the same barber, Ryan? You said a while back that like you weren't going as often.
It's called going bald. I just haven't committed to shaving it yet.
You have to worry about like sunscreen and hats and stuff?
I mean, not traditionally. One time I took the roof off my car and drove in the summer, and I really got hit.
Yeah.
Scott says, Google is evil and Scott is good.
Praise Scott. Praise the sun.
Oh,
I should close
no.
this door again.
Suede off the cuff gave us another $5. Something, something, the background.
I don't know if it's...
Oh, the blobby smileys.
We might be going with mostly... an unsorted.
Andrew Cruz says, looks like a good ROI for a live stream versus edit, do more. Yeah, this week is going to be nuts for technology news. There's literally nothing we can talk about, but good lord, this week it is going to be bananas.
It's partially holiday insanity for the live
stream. I don't remember doing it last week, but I know it was supposed to be done last week.
I don't think we did.
We did not. There was one we did last week, though. In this set.
We were supposed to do that one last week. I don't know what happened to it.
It's fine.
Looks like you're using an ad blocker.
Samson Tran. Just got home and found out you're doing a live stream. What'd I miss? About 2 hours so far. We're going into the last hour now. Krill Herkin gave us €2. Thanks.
Stay informed. Thanks. Usually they always put the silver fox on there. Oh.
Oh, man. That's the...
Dope Fish gave us $2.
That's so creepy.
Yes.
Chris, I just want to give you a little preview of this.
Okay. That looks like a consenting human being who's having a good time.
Oh, man, anyway. The nonsense. Oh, yeah, don't forget to fix your mic.
That's pretty good. I mean, can we all agree that we end on this?
That is, yeah. That is disturbing.
Yeah, that is the
that's,
worst
that's
story.
That's kind of a stupid story, though.
Thor RN says, my name is pronounced Thor RN, and gave us ISK 300.
How did he type that out that you decided it was Thor RN?
THOR-AR-IN.
Thorarin?
Thorin?
Thor, it's
Thorin Oakenshield?
Yeah, I don't know. Alex Stan gave us RON $5. Krill Harkins.
Krill.
Did I get that right?
The smallest thing in the ocean.
Yeah, I got that right. Oh, I missed one. Where'd it go?
Wendell's very interested in the chat.
Phoenix Media says, free super chats, so here have it. Just wanted to say my seed box exceeded 10 terabytes this month. Yay, thanks. Scott says, do you meme?
We were talking about the dark days recently, and I was like, how come you guys never, like, interacted with the chat? And he's like, I don't know.
Timothy Bryce, $14.99, two-use chassis, Super Micro or something else. Super Micro can be pretty good, but let's not turn this into a tech support chat.
Let's see.
What's what the forum is for? John Wissick, $1.99. Thank you.
We're probably just going to go with a really rough sword this time around. Because
yeah, that's fine.
Oh, that was so good. Oh, these Nestle bottles. I love Nestle, but they pop when you...
They do.
When the temperature changes.
Wow, we had three Stadia stories, one in every segment of the news. All right.
It was kind of big news this week.
Scott gave us $10 and says, you should do it more. Sky Markle says, blaze it. Ian Sinclair says, my name is Mel Brown Scott. Nice. Mark Studio says, Ryan, how's the fur babies doing? All right, we'll get a fur baby update, and then we got a live stream, so everybody else is going to be at the end. So I'm going to save the thank yous till the end.
Do you have a fur baby update?
They're great, yeah. They're knocking over garbage. They've started turning over their water fountain. That's the new thing.
They're turning it over completely, not just plugging it?
They don't turn it over, but I don't know if they rock it enough to pour the water out, or they get in there and, like, scoop the water out.
I bet they're
scooping water
it
everywhere.
Rue went through that phase for a while where she'll, like, just put her paw in there. She doesn't do it as much anymore, but...
But they hate the water bottle.
Well, so, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's fun to play in the puddle. Rue loves the hose. That's what they put in her progress report every time I get her groomed.
The hose?
Yeah, like when they're bathing her. She loves the hose, apparently.
I thought that was some sort of Hannibal Lecter reference.
No.
Or a different spelling of hose.
You know, maybe.
All right, here we go. This is security. We're starting with security. So we'll do security and then robots and then nonsense. And let's start out with Uber. Now, would you be more or less likely to take an Uber if you knew that the entire ride was going to be recorded?
I don't know. I think I might actually like that as a feature, be just to, like...
What if you're blind drunk and there's a 50% chance you're going to vomit?
I'd be okay with that, because then you have, like, that legal precedent, right? I guess they would have the footage, so, like, they could say you threw up even if you didn't.
All right,
like, oh, we have footage of it.
Well, let's do the...
Yeah.
Uber embraces videotaping rides and raising privacy concerns. Now, I didn't read the New York Times version of this, but the version that I read said that they were probably just going to do audio and not the full video, but they were exploring video.
They're testing both. So the way it's going to work is it's always running... But it gets deleted, I guess, at the end of the night or the end of the week or something, unless either you or the driver flag it as a controversial ride. Then it goes to Uber, and somebody looks at it.
So I don't think that's necessarily, like, as a consumer, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, yes, you're getting recorded, but it might protect you.
The other article that I read implied that the person that flagged it also gets a copy of it, which would be a lot better than... Uber getting a copy of it, because Uber's the internal people they've already acted in bad faith in other stuff that we've covered in the past.
So, like, if you got a copy of it and then you could have it for your own records, that might be good.
But then who owns the copyright?
On the Uber ride.
America's funniest Uber rides.
What if you give birth in the Uber and you want that? Because it was a magical, you know, it's the birth of your child. You want a record of it.
It's going to be like a roller coaster thing where Uber charges you $29.95.
It's better than most of the things that get birthed in Uber.
Commemorating that.
Let's recall back to the guy who was Twitch streaming his Uber rides and rating the female passengers in the chat.
Ooh, that ended badly.
Yeah. He doesn't drive for Uber anymore.
Well, he did until somebody pointed out how insane that was, and then they were like, oh, okay.
I guess that's wrong. Is that wrong?
Oh, the internal people did not ban him.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not sure they knew about it until somebody pointed it out. Yeah. Apple. Now, we talked about Apple's testing and deleting reviews and, like, how far will they go to silence dissent And this is a... now, we must say that no one has confirmed that this is the reason this is happening. But it seems overwhelmingly likely.
Apple developer... Apple locks top secret spiller out of his developer account. So what this guy would do is he would download the stuff that Apple makes, I guess, public, but not really, for developers on their website, and like the macOS betas and the Xcode betas, he would download those and like figure out what new devices and resolutions and stuff those tools are supporting, and then he would leak them. And he was really good at it. So Apple's just like, nope, your account, your developer account doesn't work now.
Top secret but spiller.
He has apps on the App Store
that are popular,
and he can't get to them and update them because they're just giving him the runaround, and he's saying that he can't get anybody to respond about any of this. It's been weeks.
Yeah. I helped somebody with a tech support issue on an Apple developer thing. Like, emails to and from their domain just stopped working, and it took months to work that out, and it turns out it was a configuration problem on Apple's end.
We always talk about big data dumps and leaks and stuff like that, and yeah, it's embarrassing, but maybe one thing that we haven't considered up until now is when one of these leaks happens, people are out there hoarding. They're data hoarding. So they're taking every leak and they're putting together a massive, massive data collection and sorting it and collating it. And then that gets leaked. So it never ends. It's just a giant snowball of data.
Password data for 2.2 million users of currency and gaming sites dumped online. Researcher confirms the data belongs to users of GitHub and Epic bot services.
I just realized this was the wrong story for my intro.
Oh, it's fine.
But it is kind of the example of that, except it's earlier on in the process.
Yeah, the next story, I think, is what you were introing.
Well, it won't be next because...
Oh.
Who knows what the organization is this week? It's magical. Well,
the next story. This is a good story to come next.
Well, this also would contribute to it.
Disney Plus fans without answers after thousands hacked. Now, you may recall the story from 12 seconds ago where we talked about a massive password dump online. People, being the fallible organic meatbags that they are, probably use the same passwords everywhere. And having that many email addresses and that many passwords means that it's pretty trivial for hackers to try those on other services, including Disney Plus, which has 1996's Aladdin era online security.
And not only that, but they're so overwhelmed by the 10 million signups and everybody having issues that they're not able to get back to you in a realistic amount of time. But what's even worse than that is that there's like Disney Plus, and then there's the physical, like visiting the parks account. And there was one other part. Do you remember what the other part was? Anyway, it's all in the same account. So if you have a Disney park subscription, which is a thing, and your Disney Plus got hacked, you're not going to Disneyland or Disney World until this is worked out, because they have that too.
Oh, by the way, no two-factor.
For Disney.
Come on. Even Hulu Plus has two-factor. Come on. Come on.
The Magic Kingdom does not believe in two-factor.
The Magic Kingdom trusts you. Who you are.
I like that the accounts on the dark web are only like $3 each and under.
Not that you looked.
Well, I mean, it's probably not going to last forever, right?
Magic is forever.
They're a little behind the curve on those security policies. I mean... There's probably a Disney Plus authentication server somewhere that just has millions of failed login attempts, and it's like, should I ban these IP addresses that are trying all these different accounts? Nah.
So, stalkerware. Stalkerware is not malware, per se, because it is being installed and even in some cases purchased. People are paying money for it. But, presumably, they're putting it on someone else's device to track them. Now, if this is your kid, I guess that's a gray area, right? If it's your wife, a little less gray. And the antivirus vendors are taking a stand.
Antivirus vendors from and non-profit... I messed that up. I'm so sorry. Antivirus vendors and nonprofits join to form a coalition against stalkerware. This article goes into it more than... there's a lot of interesting... like. My default mode when I see something that's not supposed to be there is immediately just kill it with fire. And this article points out that if you're in a situation where somebody has put stalkerware on your phone, you might not be able to delete it because they might get violent, or I could see that as a thing. So It's good that companies are flagging that, but they have to be careful about how they notify you as a user that that kind of software exists on your device.
Yeah, I realize that some people don't have control of that situation, but I got to think that if you think stalkerware is a possibility, that is a really big relationship red flag, don't you think?
Well, you might already be so abused at that point that, like, I can't leave him. Like, he has control of all my other accounts. Like,
maybe don't let it get that far.
Financial abuse.
Maybe don't put those accounts together in the first place as a matter of principle, because this can happen. Phineas Fisher. That's a pseudonym for a hacker who is something of a Robin Hood, self-proclaimed. In some ways, I kind of see it. In other ways, maybe not so much.
Offshore bank targeted by Phineas Fisher confirms it was actually hacked. A criminal investigation is ongoing, the Cayman National Bank from the Isle of Man said in a statement. I didn't understand. In this article, it talks about a hack from 2016. The bank says that there were no financial consequences. No money was stolen. But the person who claimed responsible for this Phineas Fisher thing said that they did get money and then they gave it away to a bunch of other things.
Well, so I think the idea, this is a Cayman Islands bank where you would try to hide money away.
Like launder tax drug shelter, money.
Yeah. And maybe not even actual criminals, but, you know, like leaders, those kinds of people. You know, criminals, but not in the official
sense of the term.
Yeah. The criminal investigation ongoing made it sound like there was another hack recently, or that this hack was from 2016 until today.
But this guy claims he's going into these places where the ultra rich keep their money and hide it, and he's stealing that money and stealing their details and releasing it to the world to show what's going on. So
that aspect of it is maybe a little Robin Hood.
Maybe.
Except no one's going to care.
Huh? We care, Krista.
Yeah, I don't know if we count as the normal person.
Well, the intro I did for the other story that was supposed to be for this one, because I forgot that the other one existed.
<That's fine.
laughs> 1.2 billion records found exposed online in a single server. Here's the next jumbo data leak, complete with Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn profiles. So yeah, like the whole Disney Plus collection of accounts. Like, how are so many Disney Plus accounts being hacked when Disney Plus itself has not been hacked? So you need to build a list of all of those accounts and how to get into them, and like which accounts are known good accounts and which accounts are somebody's changed stuff. Well, here's your list, except this is for literally everything as opposed to just, you know, a few services. Neat.
This next story is bad news for me.
By the way, use a password manager and enable two-factor.
Well, they only need, what, 3 centimeters, Krista? So I don't think you're at any more risk than anybody else.
Oh, except I shed everywhere.
You do leave a lot of hair laying around everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Ultra-sensitive protein method lets scientists ID someone from a single strand of hair. I thought, I was under the impression, at least from, like, crime shows, that this was already kind of possible, but I guess it wasn't.
Well, they point out, for DNA matching, you actually need a little bit of follicle left on the hair when it's yanked out.
This isn't DNA matching.
So no, but that's what she's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, before you couldn't just take any hair, but this is revolutionary because it's the hair itself.
Yeah, it talks about how there's a little bit of genetic variation in proteins like keratin, and that's what they're looking for, is those differences and the pattern match on those variations.
But unlike those shows that you're talking about, this has never been used in court or in any sort of criminal anything because it's unproven. Although they say that they have proof, so far, no one's using it. But maybe they will.
The truth is out there. The proof is out there.
Is it, though? I mean,
well, this article says so.
You think that you could expand that to drug testing? You recognize this couple?
Yeah, I did immediately. So much so that I was like, wait, what?
I mean, forget the headline.
Yeah.
This is the look back couple.
Bad news. Unblockable web trackers emerge. Good news. Firefox with uBlock Origin can stop it. Chrome, not so much. Ad tech arms race continues. DNS system exploited to silently follow folks around the web. So what do you do when you've got an ad blocker blocking your ads? Well, you serve up a different DNS name to literally everybody that's visiting your site, and you can track people through their DNS lookups. Chrome doesn't have an API for dealing with that.
Just another reason Firefox master race.
And it, the article intimates that Google is maybe okay with this type of tracking because of the way that it works.
Or because they're an advertising company?
Well...
Do Not Track is an app on iOS, which is, makes me angry because I would like to have it, but I will never use iOS. And they just keep adding awesome features to this thing. I want it. Why can I not have it?
This robot lawyer can take the mystery out of license agreements. So it reads the... We covered this a long time ago, but they've improved the software a lot. This is the robot that started out as getting you out of parking tickets. So, like, you can request a whole bunch of paperwork and overhead with the parking ticket, and chances are they just don't want to fool with it, so they'll be like, all right, parking ticket canceled. This reads license agreements for things and tells you in plain language what the what you're agreeing to exactly in the terms of service. So, yeah, I mean, check it out. It's pretty cool. It's like, you know, all of that into this much more succinct sentence. That's nice. Ain't nobody got time to read that.
And if possible, it will point out that's like, hey, we think this means this. And if it does mean this, it breaks this law. Yeah. So you should contact them and bring that up. Which means that there are going to be a lot of companies shooting for this guy.
I like how the ad DNS thing is probably also illegal because of the law, especially the new California thing that's going into effect in January. And the advertising companies are literally so dumb that they're like, well, if we just let people opt into cookies, it'll be fine. And it's like, no, it's the tracking. The fact that you're tracking an individual is the part that's illegal. The mechanism of how you do that is immaterial.
Self-driving is kind of here, but not really. Did you see it was $7,500 to get self-driving on the Cybertruck?
Where did they put the sensors? Like, what if they hit the sensors with the sledgehammer? That seems like that would end badly.
Well, the sensors are going to be there no matter what.
But I mean, like...
You're paying $7,500 for something that's already in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's an unlock. It's DLC.
DLC for your car.
So, but one thing about self-driving is... That's all very, I guess you would say, defensive, right? Like, it just recognizes other cars as something to be terrified of.
Except for when it's a pedestrian.
Well, but
pedestrians aren't scary.
Like the summon feature. When it saw a pedestrian, it was just like, oh, stop. And it would stop in the middle of the parking lot and lock everything up. If people surrounded it, it would just sit there terrified. Wouldn't do anything. And so at like MIT, they're looking to give cars more personality, or at least recognize more personalities when looking at drivers.
Predicting people's driving personalities. Systems from MIT CSAIL sizes up drivers as selfish or selfless. Could this help other self-driving cars navigate in traffic? Now, this is not a production system or anything like that. This is just a simulation. But they recognize that AI doesn't really ascribe different behaviors to other drivers. Other drivers may behave erratically, and how the AI responds to that or deals with that or anticipates that could affect how efficiently traffic flows. So the software should be built to deal with that.
Would you consider yourself a selfish or selfless driver?
Probably just a terrible driver.
Yeah, I'm probably not a great driver. I think I probably border more on selfish, but like...
Paranoid, maybe.
Yeah, because if you're selfless, that implies like you're letting people go when it's not their turn. And
then that's just
confusing. Yeah.
Yeah. It actually is a worse if you try to be a nice driver at intersections and things, because
then everyone's like, who goes now? It's just a lawless wasteland.
Yeah, and everything ends up taking longer for everybody. But then you have like the one time where if you hadn't done that, you would have been in an accident, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I hope that this software has a feature where if it recognizes it's in its own driver, if there's no cars in front of them and they get passed on the right, then it identifies them as less than human. Because that's what you are if you do that.
Start murder protocol and it just like flies off the road.
It'd be fun to have like the little AI, because they're doing all the whole car-to-car communication radio network. Like there's a whole standard for having one car directly communicate with another car on the highway. It would be amazing if the software is like, oh man, you've got one of the terrible drivers, and that car's like, man, I know. I don't know what to do.
I meant to put this story in last week, and I don't know how we missed it, because it's such a great story. because you can buy a very expensive robot dog, but your poor robot dog needs to be fed, right? It's so hungry. Well, not to worry, because they give you some free e-dog food with the purchase of your robot dog.
Thank goodness.
But what happens when you run out?
You can now buy pretend food for your $2,200 Sony robot dog. This is basically DLC. When you download a treat for your dog, it will learn a new trick. That is, it's DLC. It's DLC for a robot dog. That's all this is.
As someone who used to play with dolls, the solution is you get that bottle that makes it look like if you have it one way, it's full of milk, but if you have it the other way, it looks like it's empty. And then the doll thinks, you know, it's getting a drink. It's not really.
You might be thinking, what about that sweet bowl right there, also for sale for an obscene amount of money?
Yeah.
Is a bowl to serve your fake dog food to your robot dog. Well, you can't actually see the dog food unless you're using augmented reality through your phone.
What's crazy is, like, just get a real dog at that point. I guess if you live in an apartment where you can't have one, I guess. But, like, it's less expensive for me just to have Rue than to have this fancy robot dog.
I don't know.
All that pee.
The tail surgeries probably would have paid for a lot of fake dog food.
That's true. That wasn't her fault, though.
That's true.
That wasn't her fault.
But, you know, I mean, maybe a more aware creature wouldn't have left its tail in danger like that.
To be fair, the second time actually kind of was her fault because she chewed on it. So
that's true.
The first time was an accident. The second time was pill-seeking behavior from Rue.
Yeah.
Peanut butter-seeking behavior.
Although we are victim-blaming there.
Yeah.
Well, in the UK, people like to play with the fruit machines, you know, the gambling and all that stuff. And it's interesting because it seems like somebody sat down and said, this could be a problem because people are stupid and they'll gamble too much. We should do something about it. And then it got watered down along the way to what came out the other end basically shouldn't even exist.
UK gambling machines loaded with AI cool-off system. This is another one that I missed.
All right, so get ready for it. If the machine thinks that you're gambling too much, actually, let's take a moment.
Okay.
I don't think Krista read the story either. What would you suspect would be the course of action? If you're an AI machine and you think I'm gambling too much.
Maybe display the 800 number that's like, get gambling help now.
No, I think it'll just say, hey, are you sure you don't want to take a break? And then you can just hit continue.
It will do that, but how long should it stop me from gambling?
Like 3 seconds.
Well, wow. It's actually 30.
Wow.
Now, some scientists actually tested this. And, you know, like they actually took some people who are addicted to gambling. And they used a 90-second interval. And they found it to be absolutely useless. You're just going to go get something to drink during that time.
I was going to say, they come around with free drinks anyway at casinos. So.
Somebody's not in these places.
You got the 90-second countdown, and like you're going to go get something to drink and come back, and somebody else is going to be sitting there, and it's like, hey, man, that's my machine. It's going to get hot.
Yeah, people, that's a real thing because they try and time when it's going to pay out. And once you've invested like so many plays, you feel like you're contributing toward the next payout. And then if somebody sits down,
like, no, man, that's my payout. Get off.
Yeah. Highly illogical.
Yeah, that's a really poor understanding of statistics.
Yeah.
But, I mean, isn't all gambling?
Yeah.
Alphabet is getting back in the robot game, but they're taking a slightly different approach this time around.
Google's parent company, Alphabet, is getting back into robots with a project that will learn something.
It's the robots that are going to learn how to do their own thing.
Oh, this is called Project X. So this is very surprising because Google, you know, they sort of let Boston Dynamics go off and do their own thing. And Google was like, we're not ready for AI. This is not going to be a thing yet. But Project X is letting, is getting back into the robot game in a sense that they want to show robots how to do things. So it's like human-robot interaction. And the specific example they had was trash sorting. So, like, sorting your recyclables to the different kinds of recyclables, but teaching a robot to do that like you would teach a human worker.
Or have the robot watch workers doing it and pick it up. And then to take that and convert it into sorting something other than trash. And they believe that they have a good way of figuring all that out.
I'm surprised that there's even still an organization in Google doing this, given how much they've abdicated from Boston Dynamics. They must have, like, Google must have internally decided that however Boston Dynamics was doing it was not long-term profitable, and they've gone back to the drawing board.
Now, this story is incredible, and this was paywalled. I read a different one. So I don't know if these are actual interpretations of what he is seeing.
I don't think so.
But, no, it looks like a bitmap image that someone generated for...
But he is seeing something very rudimentary. It's they point out it's not good enough to read text.
Oh.
So it's terrible, but it's better than nothing, right?
A blind man sees his birthday candles again thanks to a bionic eye. A brain implant helped restore his sight after a tragic car crash. So the implant is rather large, but it's implanted directly into his visual cortex, and he can see birthday candles again and bright spots, and the resolution is super low. It's only like 150 by 200 or something crazy, like super, super low, maybe even lower than that.
Actually, if this, you know, if I thought about it for more than 2 seconds, how would he be seeing an image of himself?
Yeah, don't. I like that you moused over his crotch, too.
I didn't mean to mouse over his crotch.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Way to focus on the wrong thing here. This is very uplifting. So
usually, it's a cool story.
Yeah, usually when you get this kind of implant, you have to have some life in the eye because the eye still has to transmit it to the brain. Not this guy. This is full-on brain surgery. Yeah. And he was like, I'll do it. And they actually told him, which was pretty cruel. They're like, hey, bro, you know how yours kind of sucks and you can't read with it? We're doing a better one, and you're going to be able to read. And I was like, oh, great. Thanks.
Well, can he get an update surgery later, or is it just like, no?
Well, I don't think they, because brain surgery has such a huge infection risk.
Oh, yeah.
They don't just let you.
Just keep going under the knife.
Woo, elective brain surgery all the time. Yeah.
Maybe it'll get to the point where they can update. They do that with pacemakers. My mom got an update, and she was very excited. She was like, oh, this one's sleeker.
But that's not elective.
No.
I mean, your heart is way more critical than your eyes.
Yeah, but, you know, he might want it. Literacy. It's to read.
This story is, I don't know, it's a little bit terrifying, but also I suppose it's hopeful because it's crazy how much we can do with modern medicine, and yet modern medicine is in such a bad place in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, it's kind of like the haves and the have-nots, isn't it?
Yeah. Exclusive. Humans placed in suspended animation for the first time in this New Scientist article. There's this group of surgeons got permission from the Medical Association and from other, this was on like Boston or somewhere in New England, I think. And if they happen to be at the hospital when you have a traumatic injury that would normally result in your death, you may get to be experimented on by this team. So what happens is you get an injury that's really severe, and you're going to die before the surgeons have a chance to fix you. So I talked about how one of the surgeons, there was a kid that was in good health, and he got stabbed through the heart, and he was dead in a matter of minutes. And I was like, we could have saved this guy if we could have just bought more time to repair his heart. And so that's exactly what they're doing. They're cooling the blood down to like 10 degrees C.
Replace it with saline.
Yeah, and so that gives you time to do the surgery, up to 2 hours. And they've been doing it with pigs for 3 hours. And the pigs they're able to do the surgery on the pigs, and then the pigs come back.
This was a plot point in House. And I thought this was something that they could already do, but apparently not. Maybe it was like experimental at the time House came out.
Oh, were you saying House lied to us?
I can't believe that, because I, you know, all my medical knowledge is from that show.
So they talk about how if the threshold for doing this is you have to have lost 50% of your blood, and the trauma has to be a certain measurement of trauma.
You have to have a 5% chance of living or less.
I think it was 2.
Oh, okay.
2%. Or no, the success rate without this is 2%. Now, they're not, I don't know if they're not allowed or they don't want to talk about the success rate with it, but presumably it's better.
They did say, I think for the success rate, the article was like, we'll have more data on that, because apparently some of the people in the beginning died because you can't bring the organs back up to temperature quickly because there's some kind of reaction for that.
I think this story wins the pun headline of the week.
It does.
But this just goes to point out that no matter how hard the like anti-disinformation stuff works and the what Twitter, you know, Facebook, all the things that they do, you're never going to stop it. You have to let stupid be stupid. There's no getting around it.
The flat earth conspiracy is spreading around the globe. Does it hide a darker core?
Someone was really proud of that headline.
That headline.
Very proud of it.
This talks about an otherwise normal individual who was convinced that the earth is flat.
And they have a convention now. You can go to the flat earth meetup.
I just don't understand it. Because it's just like, how does that affect your life day to day in any way?
Well,
the answer is it doesn't.
Actually, the fact that the earth is round does affect your life in a myriad of ways.
In a myriad of ways, but like, how often do you really need to think about it?
Well, no, you don't need to think about it. But if it weren't true, the amount of technologies that wouldn't work would change our lives dramatically.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, how often do you get in your car on your way to work and think, man, thank goodness the world is round?
Well, my car has a GPS.
But you don't think about it as a human being. Like, your technology needs to know that for its calculations, but...
Also, the...
How does GPS work if we can't have satellites?
Also, gravity keeps my car on the road.
They mentioned gravity in the article, and he's like, well, I'm not sure about gravity yet.
I'm sure he's looking into it. I'm sure there's a team of flat earthers working furiously on that theory.
It's easy to demonstrate the earth is round with flagpoles. Like, you could call your friend in a city that's far away, and when the sun is such that the flagpole doesn't have a shadow, the other dude's flagpole is going to have a shadow because of the curvature of the earth.
No, but they...
I watched that YouTube video as well.
They have an idea that the sun, like, rotates around the rim, right? So, that explains that.
Does it? Oh, I don't think it does.
Well, they've got some kind of explanation for that.
Checkmate.
Krista, you are terrified of black holes.
A little bit.
You think that they're coming for you.
They're not coming for me, but, you know, if one came, I'd be scared.
Well, let me just maybe awaken a brand new fear in you. Did you know that black holes have a ranged attack?
Oh, no. It was enough that they were AOE. A black hole threw a star out of the Milky Way galaxy. What did it do?
So long, S5HVS1. What a name.
Bye.
So this happened quite a long time ago. And they believed that this was a binary star, and the black hole munched one of them and launched to the other. Yeeted it.
Across the universe.
And it's still traveling at very high velocity. I don't remember what the number was, but
it's quite literally speedily. A shooting star.
Yeah. And everybody's mind is blown. They're like, we've never seen a black hole yeet a star before. This is incredible.
And that's why we should be terrified of black holes, because who knows when it will decide to yoke us.
I mean, if we were in the path of that star, yes, we would all be dead. For sure.
It would be amazing if that turned out to be an early interstellar civilization's like a doomsday weapon. Is like they just
a star eater.
Yeah, it's like they just shove a binary star into a black hole in just the right way to take out your solar system.
Star eaters are great.
Star eater should be the name of this episode, except it's not going to be like normal episodes this week.
This college did a publicity stunt, I guess you would say. But they tried to show the terrible effects that smartphones have on our lives by forcing the students to give them up.
It's really refreshing and relaxing. College students say ditching their smartphones for a week changed their lives. I would say that's probably true.
Yeah.
What do college students have to be worried about?
Well, you up for it?
No.
I think I'd be okay.
Yeah, I could do it. I mean, we talked about this with the... remember the advertising agency that was like, cut your screen time? But they only counted smartphone screens.
Yeah, because smartphone screen's easy.
As long as I got a desktop computer, yeah, I could easily do that. Come on.
Trivial.
I can't leave my desk. It's kind of already like that. It's like, I can't leave my desk for very long.
Now, Krista, you also love mushrooms.
I do. Mycology.
And
maybe it's a better way to put that, so people don't think I like those kind of mushrooms. But
I like, I think... mushrooms are cool, sure, right? But I've never thought about this. What if we use them for a whole new thing?
This company is using mushrooms to reduce plastic waste.
This is actually pretty genius what they're doing. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
So it's the roots of the mushroom, the mycelium network. And they're taking waste materials and then letting the mycelium grow into the waste. And then the waste can be shaped like styrofoam. So they're using it as a packing material for the wine or whatever. It's a very effective packing material.
I see them can also keep, like, trees and stuff alive, which is weird.
That, if you plant it in your garden, or if you just bury it in your backyard, it will actually help your plants grow.
Or it'll help you grow mushrooms, so.
Or toss it in a stew.
Or travel across the universe.
From your bed.
Get star yeeted.
You interpreted that as a drug joke, but it was actually a Star Trek Discovery joke because...
I started to pick it up for you, and I should have when I was at Meijer. They have a bunch of Star Trek. I guess, like, I don't know if it's an anniversary or something. They have a bunch of Star Trek magazines at the checkout.
Oh, no. No.
No, but it's like the original.
It's no. It's some sort of publicity stunt to get people to subscribe to CBS's.
Well, no, you should read those. It's a publicity stunt.
True value brand Disney Plus.
We are in the era of cancel culture. If people can find any reason not to like a thing, they will try to destroy it and get it canceled. And they can carve another notch on their bedpost today because the angels are out of a job.
Victoria's Secret, struggling on many fronts, has canceled its annual fashion show. What?
The owner a few years ago, I remember, he made like some casual comments about how we basically, that amounted to, we don't want any fatties in our show.
Yeah.
And that was strike one, I think.
They were also forced to bring in a transgender angel recently.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We keep interrupting each other. For me, Victoria's Secret ended as soon as they got rid of their clothing line.
Well, for most people, I think the big thing that you're not thinking about is the fact that the guy that owns Victoria's Secret was in business in a big way with Epstein.
That's not surprising at all.
I can't remember. Did Epstein kill himself?
Walked right into that one. Were they forced? You said they were forced to do the transgender thing. I thought they did that like as a
token of.
Okay. All right. Let's extrapolate here. Do you think a man who said, "We will never have fatties in our fashion show,"
okay,
would willingly,
yeah,
bring in a man?
That was someone in their marketing team who was like, "Listen, people are pissed right now.
We have to do something."
Yeah.
Do you realize that you're in business with a child rapist? And he was like, "All right, do what you need to do."
They're not technically children, actually. And it's like, dude, they're still being trafficked. Like. Anyway.
Oh,
they were definitely children in the...
Yeah.
Well,
some of them were. Yeah, for sure.
So here's a question. How frugal are you?
Not that frugal.
How far will you go?
Not that far.
To save some money?
In this
Would you live stream yourself in a hotel room?
No. This Japanese hotel room costs $1 a night. The catch? You have to live stream your stay. The only consolation prize is they don't live stream the bathroom.
And you turn the lights out.
Yeah, but there's still going to be like night lights and stuff and lights from outside.
Mm-hmm. Now,
what do you think the cleaning crew for this is
This is the hotel in question, and the guy was very frank when asked, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "You know, our hotel is not great, and we really needed something to bring people in." It's not, what do they say, 7 people, I think, have done it, and
yeah,
one was a repeat. So not a lot of people going for this, as you can imagine.
Well, this is on CNN Travel. I think this is going to be, you know, they're not going to be wanting for business anymore, as it were.
Oh, we should do like a level one investigates and then have like the thumbnail where it's like, "I stayed at a hotel."
Now, they do say that wherever this is like a beautiful beachfront community. And it's a nice place to go.
And they have, you know, they have the red circle around that building in the thumbnail.
Somebody suggested a video series for us would be that we review all of the worst rated Yelp restaurants around, and like that, I could probably get that would probably be entertaining.
No, we need to do, if we're going to do any kind of restaurant thing, we're going to do the Tendy review.
Oh yeah,
the Tendy off. I don't know.
Is Tendy culture that mainstream though?
For our audience, sure.
Like, you think there's a lot of good boys?
A lot of good boys. A lot of good girls. Maybe not a lot of good girls, but a few.
So if you've been following the news on the West Coast, especially some of the more liberal cities, they have a bit of a problem. And that problem is feces in public. Sacramento, I think, is the big one, right? And Portland, of course, on the list. They have a
San Francisco, big problem.
Is San Francisco, that might be bigger than Sacramento. Anyway, anywhere you have a giant homeless population, you have a lot of poop, street poop. And they're trying to raise awareness.
Riffle. Towering 30-foot poop emoji arrives at Portland, of course. Where else? Pioneer Courthouse Square in support of World Toilet Day.
You know what would be better than a giant inflatable poop emoji? Actually just putting out, taking that money and just putting out some like public restrooms.
This is a public restroom, I think, isn't it?
No.
No, it's just...
Are you sure? Because
no, he goes, it's like a, actually
to the homeless, maybe.
So, yeah, so let's look at this, right? It's like, oh, okay. So you can go in here and you can sit down on these toilets, which don't work, by the way. And their iPads are mounted here, and you can learn. Oh, that's kind of cool, right? And then apparently, you can also just be terrified more than you ever have in your life with whatever this is. What is that?
So. I think that
the poo portal.
I think we're going to have a follow up next week of this, and the iPads are going to be ripped off the thing, and there's just going to be poop everywhere.
Why would you not just invest in Port-a-Johns to put around the city? I don't understand.
The catchphrase is "let that go," but isn't that the problem? Aren't people just letting
go all over? It's a public safety issue.
Can I not put use my log as a stylus?
And here's the best image. 30-minute wait from this point.
Why?
Who's waiting 30 minutes to explore the giant poop?
No. You're not going for the giant poop. You're going for the poo portal. You want that like psychedelic experience where you're being leered at while you poop.
I think you're supposed to sit on the toilet to explore the iPad, but sitting on the toilet as a seat.
Who is this for?
There's like, some more interior pics of it.
You know what's frustrating is that there's probably some really talented artists whose talents went to this. They're like, we need you to make an interactive display. And they're like, oh, that sounds awesome.
Oh, my God.
So cool.
Why?
And then they had to make this.
What is that?
Some sort of weird projector in the top
Look
half of the poop.
What's going on with her shoulders, though? It's
just, it's a they're manly.
Very bad version of the Source Engine.
This is early footage of of Alex, the VR game.
I imagine that this is just a projector and this is being warped because of the poo structure, but
you
think
don't
they
know
tested that? Anyway, if you're lucky, maybe the poop will come to your city and you can go see this in person.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, what color, Krista? You are a color expert.
Yes.
What is the most gender neutral color?
Gray. Gray's really in right now.
Wrong. It's green.
It's green.
Google claims the controller for its new Stadia controller is gender neutral. Gender neutral in a bizarre marketing campaign.
I'm going to call bogus on the green.
So it's barely green. I mean, what would you call that?
I think it's the accent color around the buttons. It's white, but there's the accent color around the button.
No, there's like a green tinge to it because that's the white one.
Oh.
Mint.
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah. So black, white, or whatever that is, and they're actually saying that other consoles have overly masculine controllers and coloring.
What about the Wii?
But not Google because they're woke.
I wouldn't think, like, for me, as well, the color doesn't matter. Though I could see how, like, a controller might not be well fitted to your hands if they're smaller than a guy's.
I don't know. I think the DualShock 2 is, like, they have children in mind there, too, right?
Yeah. I would think it would be, like, a nice medium. I don't play with controllers very often, so I can't say, but...
This makes no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, are white and black gendered? Do they trade sexism for racism?
Yeah, I don't.
That's not right.
I don't understand.
That's why this is in the nonsense section, everybody.
Here's a crazy story that, on one hand, people should be able to do what they want in their own home. On the other hand, I imagine this woman is very unbearable and did this to try to make some kind of statement.
Utah woman could be forced to register as sex offender after kids see her topless at home. So she was sanding a wall in the garage with her husband or something, and her kids wandered in. And
her children?
Not her
children.
I didn't think so.
It was her husband's children.
Stepchildren.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the biological mom was like, what?
Now you can imagine that your husband breaks up with you, your marriage ends, he goes with the younger woman, if these are the two people. I don't know if that's the guy. But those are the breasts in question. And he's with this woman, and your kids go over there to hang around, and they come back and they're telling you stories. It's like, no, mommy just has her boobs out. I mean, I can kind of see where, you know, you get a little angry about that, right?
Yeah.
But should it be, they're talking about putting her on the sex offender registry for the rest of her life.
I don't know if that's warranted, at least not based on the information we have here.
No, that seems ridiculous.
Yeah. But on the other hand, maybe don't haul them out in front of the stepkids.
That's what, yeah, it's just kind of like, I don't understand that. Like, why?
Maybe they're great. She just wants everybody to see them.
Well, she said it was because they were sanding.
But you don't want sand in yeah. those crevices?
No, yeah, that's not comfortable.
Is it like methamphetamine where, like, you have to, like, we saw in Breaking Bad where they were wandering around in their underwear? Is that a thing?
I'm not gonna even show that picture yet because
the chat really. We need to see a live reaction.
It's got
to
be the reveal.
I wish we could have like the reverse chat reaction for this one because good lord.
Now, this headline, I'm gonna just say this is very creepy. No doubt about it.
It is weird and gross. Yeah.
Very creepy, but they use the phrase "having sex" here, and that these people are not having sex. These people are jerking off, and. To say that it equates it with rape or whatever is ridiculous because this is masturbation. Let's just keep that in mind, no matter how creepy it is. And boy, is it creepy.
They can't stop us. People are having sex with 3D avatars of their exes and celebrities.
They can't stop us is in quotes there. But you can probably show them the clip. It's like Jamie rolled the clip.
Well, let's talk about it. So what's happening here is the 3D rendering software is so good that you can actually go through and shop through all the little different body parts and recreate someone that you've seen before.
Basically like Gmod, but for...
Well, I was just thinking, it's like some of the game streams where you get control of the character creator and it's 3 hours later.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it's just like, wow. That's...
Like, so you take the Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 creator and you build your perfect body. Then you take a picture, which is then turned into a texture that goes on the face. And you basically have whoever you want. Celebrity, ex, whatever. And then the 3D modeling is so good. And now this is where we do
the image
unveil.
That you guys will want out of your head forever.
Now we got to wait. We got to start at the very beginning. Because this is a slow burn.
This is just...
It gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah, there's your VR hand.
There's Alex's hand.
Well, this is I made a comment earlier in the stream where I was like, wow, that looks like a lady who's having fun and consenting.
And this is on the Vice website, like the Vice News website. I mean,
I like that you're saying that for YouTube's sake.
Yeah.
When someone has to moderate this piece
of
garbage.
Yeah. It's just like, what?
So the question is, and Krista, I mean, you're probably best suited to answer this here, because no one's going to do it to us.
I don't know if anyone will do it to me.
Before we get some emails.
If someone made a 3D Krista avatar, do you feel like that's sort of...
I think it's a violation, but it makes you wonder, like, do you own your own image in this day and age?
You've obviously not seen the Ryan Pillow thread on the forum.
Yeah, there is a Ryan. People want a body pillow of you.
Well, listen, if they're willing to pay for it, but... I don't know. I mean,
do you own your own image? Like,
all right. So let's say that this is wrong. What's the punishment? What is a good enough? Is this going to be another sex crime? Is this going to be sex offender registry?
It is gross.
I mean, this is the last story. So do we have any good suggestions from chat about this?
The chat's probably all just freaking out right now. Yeah, it's moving pretty fast. So
it was just a collective, just
I would think that
general,
yes,
just...
yes, you should be able to own your own image and have control over it. But at the same time, it's like the model maker, and it's like we live in such a weird world that you can't definitively say that you own your own face. Like,
the best thing about this GIF is she does not seem into it.
That's what's weird about it,
is
right?
That a feature?
Like.
It's just like, why are you doing this? Why can't I fight back against it? Why am I programmed to be passive here?
Why was I programmed to feel anything in this situation?
She doesn't feel anything. Like, the whole thing is so strange. Anyway. Oh, someone donated. Did they have anything to say, or were they just like, wow, thanks for showing me this filth?
No, it was just, it was, we got a whole list of people here. Filth Piston gave us some more money.
Filth Piston.
I thought it was Fifth Piston.
The letter J. This episode was brought to you a little bit by the letter
J. I believe
J.
That's pronounced.
The letter J should have a lot of money. That's power right there. And a whole letter.
Scott, who's just showered us with money, has given us more money. Lesser Shoe, Demaritus, Boris Malchenko, Christopher, Scott again, Diego Tarabes, Christopher Richter, Christopher. Hux, Christopher again, Suede Off the Cuff again, Scott for like the ninth time, Jamerican 347.
Jamerican.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us on this strange journey.
Some guy in Sandy also says thanks, so thanks.
Is that San Diego? Maybe he knows about the poop.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Go take some pictures and send them back to us. Put them on the
why
forum.
Why would we want that?
Because I want to see more of that terrifying giant woman leering down at me on a toilet.
You know, we did the story had like the little trailer thing. I saw one of those when I was out there for the AMD thing. There was one of those little trailer things the street over from the hotel because I was looking for somewhere to eat. And it was like, wow, this is one of the poop things that they set out for the homeless. I was not brave enough to go in it.
Well, you know.
Well, that's the thing. They have the trucks with the showers and the toilets. Like, that's, if the city really cared about it, like, instead of having a poo portal, they would just set up some porta-johns and showers.
But they've talked about that. And those things, unless you staff them literally around the clock, 2 or 3 hours later, they're just bristling with needles.
Yeah.
The light posts. So down by the docks, like one of the restaurants I went to see this cool AI give a, not for the AMD thing, but there was a guy giving a talk in AI at like a little coffee shop, which is a thing that happens in San Francisco, apparently. And the walk to the piers, like every other light post had like one of those Sharps disposal things in it. So like, you know how in a hospital, it's like...
That's becoming more popular around here as well. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, like you open it up and then you can put a needle or something in it and then you close it and you can hear
it's
it.
It's bio-waste,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, going to the bin. And it's like literally, not really every other light post, but... I saw probably more than a dozen on a 20-minute walk around the pier area where it was just like, you got needles you need to dispose of? Put them in here.
Please nervous don't make laughter. Us pick them up.
So that was sort of interesting.
I mean, if the other option is just having them littering the street, that's definitely the better option. So.
Suede Off the Cuff gave us some more money. Twice. Forgotten. Harry GTT. Malton Ho. And... I think with that, it's a wrap. Thank you all for joining us. It's been really awesome.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Turkey, turkey.
Oh, are you presuming?
That presuming their holiday?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a short work week.
It's
for
not
Americans.
A worldwide holiday. Oh, stupid American.
Also, doesn't some country have Thanksgiving at a different time?
I think Canada does.
Yeah.
Oh,
why does Canada always have to ape our stuff and ruin it?
Canada probably already had theirs, so.
No, they don't deserve it.
It's fine.
We're the older rebellious brother, and Canada's our younger goody-two-shoes brother.
We killed our native species way before Canada ever did.
Some guy in Sandy also gave us $20. It's like some avatar making cash for Tall.
You should scroll up so we don't have to watch that poor woman get assaulted. The digital lady.
Oh, they can't see that. I thought you enjoyed it.
Oh, all right. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next week for more news after the holiday. Oh, and the one tabs will be posted here in a little bit. So if you want the stories we talked about, they'll be there. See ya.